Oh.
Attended the village board meeting and you were asked to come here just to lay the groundwork. You know, this is the issue of the northeast corner and other parts of the village, but the northeast corner in particular is. Yeah, well, let me just make a few notes and then we'll. So, you know, this has been something that, we on the committee have dealt with.
So, you want to put the volume on?
There have been several meetings about it. I know some of you are. I feel that there hasn't been adequate notice provided in the past, but, and I don't really want to debate that, but there, you know, there are a variety of ways that the village gives notice of these issues. But the point of it is tonight, if there are people who want to be heard on this, you know, have an opportunity to be heard. We have a lot of people who've signed up. You know, we have a limit, you know, we can go, you know, fairly late tonight if we need to, but I would ask if someone else has made the same point and, you know, you're willing to just, you know, voice support for that point that's already been made, there's really probably not a lot of value to have to repeat the same arguments over and over again. As a matter of business, I think we have minutes from a meeting to approve. So why don't we see if we can get a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Motion.
This is
minutes on September 21, 2021.
All right. Pat?
Oh, wait.
Oops, sorry?
22. Correction at the top.
I'll second.
Favor? We have a list. So also, we have some people participating by Zoom. That makes things difficult to have a hybrid meeting. So to the extent you're able to speak into the microphone, if you're going to speak to take the lectern, please give us your name, your address. We have that for the record. And again, I know, you know, sometimes we're pretty informal here and we, you know, people speak from the floor, but with the crowd that we have tonight, I think it'd be better if people would take the microphone, and we likewise will try to talk into the microphone so that everybody can hear, including the people who are on Zoom. As you may know, this commission makes non-binding recommendations to the village board. You also may know that there is currently a village-wide study going on. And so I think it's, at least my own opinion, we'll hear what everybody has to say tonight, I think it's unlikely that we will make any radical recommendations tonight. But we do want to hear from people, and you know, eventually we, you know, we may make some modest recommendations tonight, and you know, this is as many things that we've done in the village is that these things are rarely irrevocable. They're a work of progress. We try to do incremental change, and I think it's why, you know, some of the barriers that you've seen up in that quadrant of the village are at this point done on a temporary basis so we could, you know, see how they're working out. So I guess before we turn it over to the public, let me ask if there are any members of the commission who have any comments that they'd like to make before we turn it over for public comment. I should probably make a comment here. I've been on this commission since 2006. Done a lot of work. We've been talking about this quadrant for 10 years at least. It started about a year ago, and I just want to give you guys some background so you know what happened here in the commission, because obviously a lot of you were not notified somehow. You didn't open the mail. You didn't open up an email. Guys that were on the opposite side were running around stealing the flyers that were mailed out. It could be anything, right? I don't blame anyone. But we got a lot of feedback from a one-sided contingency initially that was for slowing down traffic in the Northeast Corridor. We addressed 2 years ago, we put a stop sign on Bonnie Bray and Lemoyne. We did this, and then it started coming to a T. So then we had meetings specific to that quadrant, and 8 to 14 people showed up to 3 different meetings, and we went through all this, and we made some recommendations. We also had a study done by consultants, if you know, that
made a recommendation for calming measures, slowing measures. Now, we typically, I would say 90% of the time, we listen to what these consultants have to say. This time, we did not, because the contingency that was in this room had opinions based on their specific. I live a block from here. I'm not up in the Northeast Corridor. I grew up in Oak Park, so I'm very familiar with the area. I've been here since 2006. But, you know, the consultant came in and said, we can do this, we can do that. But as a commission, we decided that, you know, consultants from Oak Park, you know, close down every street in Oak Park. You can't get into Oak Park. That's great. We love your opinion, Mr. Consultant. But with the opinions we were getting from that contingency in the Northeast Quadrant, we decided to take it a step further. Now, was that right or was that wrong? Finally, you're here, right? Now we have a contingency. Now we have, I get a phone call from a guy on William that says, why didn't you close down William? Well, I think that meeting, we were here till 10:30. We're like, all right, we're done. You know, we're going to bed. I sit here for free. I'm not getting paid to do this. And then I get another call from a business owner that says, wait, what happened? And, you know, my business is falling apart. I said, well, why didn't you come to the meeting? And I know notice went out, and I know a lot of people didn't get the notices or threw them away. But to level the situation, you know, talking, I see some faces that I recognize from the old meetings. I see some neighbors. We're all neighbors here. So I just wanted to throw it out there. Okay, we're here. We made some decisions. We made some recs that went upstairs, board implemented, right? It's done. But now, finally, as I say in jest a little bit, we have the other side. So I've had a long day, and we're going to be professional here. We're going to listen to everybody. What was done was done. Now we're going to essentially get down to brass tacks, get to work, and figure out something that maybe works for a majority of the village. So I'm really not here to listen to people complain about this or that. Let's listen to each other. Let's talk. Let's not interrupt. And let's get some work done, because we've already put a lot of time into this. Now we're going to put a lot more time into this. So let's get about getting it done and solving a problem to some degree up in the Northwest Corridor. And when is this study coming back to us from the Northeast Corridor?
I don't think we know that.
It's village-wide? Okay. So anyway, we're all here. We're all neighbors. We live in the same area.
You know, Jeff.
Let's get started. I'm interested in listening to what you guys have to say from that quadrant. And, you know, I listened to the last two meetings as well, the board meetings, and there were comments coming from the inevitable, which was we shut down Bonnie Brand Clinton Place, right? So now I heard somebody talking from Park Avenue, west side of Lathrop. So this is obviously that's going to happen, right? People want to get through, they want to bypass, they want to get away from the corner. So this has now become a village-wide conversation, or at least north of Division, as far as I can tell, Division and North. So there's a lot of people with a lot of different opinions. We respect all of your opinions. And we'll figure something out as we get started here at 7:10 on a Wednesday. So, yeah, welcome. I look forward to a productive meeting.
Thanks, John. I'll ask Jeff Loster to comment on the question about the status of this study.
But to clarify, the Northeast study that was completed is complete. That study is done. There is an ongoing village-wide study right now. One component of that study is a village-wide survey. So we're still getting results in from the survey. That survey is going to steer some of the data collection phase, what we need to look at and where. So until that survey is wrapped up, we can't complete the data collection phase. So as of right now, we've got 865 responses to this survey over the last month or so. We will probably give it another week or so, I would imagine. We'll do some more electronic notification to let everybody know that the survey is coming to a close soon, so that we can button that up and then take that data that we've gotten from the survey, analyze that to help dictate where we continue to look as part of the village-wide study.
Also wanted to note, we have a couple, at least one commissioner, Pat Chase, is on Zoom. Do we have Arun, Jay Rahman? Do you know if Arun's on the phone? Okay, great. All right, so I have a list. I don't know that everybody's on the list. You know, we'll want to speak, we'll need to speak, but why don't we just start at the top? We have, and I may not be able to read your writing, but Patrick at 1415 Clinton, we have on first. What's your last name? B-E-R-G?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Good evening. Microphone. Cost of list here to...
At the Academy Awards.
Yeah,
we'll play you off if we have to.
So I want to start by saying I found out about the blockades, which really sounds horrible when you think about it. When I was coming back from a trip and was in a ride share, and we turned south on Clinton, and the driver was, you know, he was, as was I, because the blockades were there. They weren't there when I left the week before. So I said, we'll just go around it. So that's what he did, because the other option was to go down the alley, and he didn't seem that was a very good idea. So when I got home, I thought that it was because there were large piles of leaves, I mean, huge piles of leaves at that time. And, you know, they can't pick them all at once. So I thought, well, maybe just for safety, they just kind of, you know, turned it into a one-way street for a period of time. But anyway, that was not the case. So I want to tell you about my trip to Home Depot, okay? So I go out of the driveway, and I turn, head north on Clinton, and immediately I see somebody down at the blockade going around the blockade. And then when I got up there, someone else came around me, and I waited for them to go through. And then when I got to the blockade, someone just turned on to Clinton and was stopped, confused about what to do. So they went east down the alley. And before I could go legally through the blockade, somebody came shooting across Clinton to follow the other car that had just turned east in the alley. So the alley is a nightmare in terms of how much traffic is on it right now. And because I can't, honestly, and I wasn't looking for it, but I don't hardly ever remember seeing anybody come in or go out of that alley when I was going back and forth on Clinton. And admittedly, getting on North Avenue is not fun in any circumstance at any time of the day. So I do my turn at the corner, keeping in mind, and I'm sure everyone knows this, there are four municipalities that share that intersection, one of which happens to be the third largest city in the United States. So nobody should be surprised that there's a lot of traffic everywhere you look. When I came here 10 years ago, I came from up north in Lake Forest. There is no traffic because it's on a lake and there's nowhere to go. So, you know, everybody gets excited if there's four cars waiting someplace. But I didn't have a perception that there were a lot of people running up and down in front of Clinton. Not at all. Once in a while, someone I thought was going too fast, but, you know, that happens, and there's ways of preventing that to some degree. So I turn north, and I'm heading down Harlem, my favorite street in the world, and I always cut through, I'm one of the evil cut-throughers, on Armitage. Okay, and I seeming like I'm always going to Home Depot. So So about 60 yards after I turn, there is a brand spanking new speed hump, not a bump, but a hump. So it did slow me down. And if we're taking a vote on bumps versus humps, humps are preferable unless you want to have your front end aligned, you know, every other month. But they just up into his eyes. Oh, it's a great idea. I'm just throwing that in to think about. So I did whatever I did. I came back, and every time I'm north of the intersection and I'm heading back home, I have to decide which is the least obnoxious way to get to Clinton right now, Lemoyne and Greenfield. Okay, because what I would do is I time to see if the light is working, and I get the green, so then I can right across. And I make a turn on the Lemoyne, and then I make another left turn, and I'm home. So I can throw a baseball from the corner to hit the house. So now I have to get to my house, and then decide to drive around the block three or four times and then pull into the driveway, because that's what it feels like. It's not a short little drive. It's just an added excursion that I'm not interested in doing, okay? I could make a legal right-hand turn on the Lemoyne, and it works fine. Now I can't do that. I just want to mention that something about the CLOA report. That's probably not the correct pronunciation, but I have this fantasy in my mind, and this may offend some of you, but in my mind that there were $16,500 spent on the report, and then somebody looked at it, a professional study is what I'm calling it, and it said, oh my God, they didn't tell us what we wanted to hear. Okay. Not unlike in the 60s when somebody thought possibly smoking cigarettes was a bad idea, but those people were not tobacco producers of the United States. But they commissioned studies, and there were physicians on TV touting how comfortable and how relaxed it made their patients by having a cigarette. Okay? So if you commission a professional study or a piece of research that's done, and if you just ignore the results, that it seems like a total waste of time and money. But that's what happened. And the only other thing that it, when I'm doing, making that decision, okay, when I'm at the evil intersection, I feel somewhat like a rat in a maze, you know, looking for the piece of cheese. Okay. And eventually I know it's out there, but eventually I will find my way to the piece of cheese that happens to be where I live. Okay. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes,
you want to be able to turn off of Harlem?
Yes.
What do you think about the barricades at the end of Clinton?
I'm not infatuated with them because I see people going around them all the time.
Okay.
And I just as an aside, and I know this is not a permanent situation, but I have had three ride shares call and say the driver terminated the pickup. Okay. One was from a dealership because I was going, they sent me a rideshare to pick me up and drive me back to get my car. And then all of a sudden my phone says he terminated it. And they immediately sent another one, the dealer did. And I caught him before, and I knew where he was coming from. Okay. And I caught him before he got past Williams. And I said, you need to turn on Williams because you can't turn on the Clinton. So it, yes, I don't.
You're neutral on Clinton, then.
Well, I'm not. I'm neutral with if I prefer it, because I don't perceive it as a problem. I mean, my overall thought about this is a solution looking for a problem. That's the way it feels to me.
Okay.
Right. Monica, George, Vukovic.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here. We live at 1408 Bonnie Bray. We've lived in the community for over 20 years. We've raised our kids here, and I got to tell you, even going way back, you know, trying to bring the kids down Bonnie Bray and then Greenfield to take them to Willard School, traffic has always been a challenge. You add to that the number of people that come through our community that aren't in the community, and it makes it even bigger. And we've even had cars that have gone off or had accidents that hit the tree in front of our house. What I can tell you is over the last couple of months, that has greatly reduced. I think part of the challenge is everybody's looking as North Avenue gets busier and as Harlem gets busier, everybody looks for those shortcuts. You know, and if you pull out your Waze or whatever, what does it do? It tells you to take those shortcuts. So, and then the part about the rideshare, as time goes on, that'll get updated. So your rideshare drivers will understand that these streets are closed off. So again, we've lived here over 20 years. Been involved with the Boy Scouts. We did the things with the road signs to put the lights up there to make it better. I'm involved with the community center. I've worked there. And I got to tell you, these last couple of months, and I feel better for the people that have kids, because from a safety perspective, I used to run, getting too old for that, but cars would come by, you know, nobody would follow the speed limits. Everybody would speed by. They'd see how close they could get to you, see if they could hit you without hitting you. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that. And so that's from a homeowner's perspective. We also own a business on North Avenue, and I'll turn it over to my wife to talk about her business and what she's experienced having a business on North Avenue.
Okay, thank you. So my business is at 7765 West North Avenue, and I am actually between Park and Franklin, and you cannot turn south going east on North Avenue. So what do I tell my patients? Take your chances in parking on North Avenue, because the traffic is going from 40 miles to 30 miles. And we've had many car accidents in front of our office. In fact, one car coming through my reception area. Thank God nobody was hurt. You know, some damage to the building, but we took care of that. But one thing we tell our patients, and that's one thing I should address some of the businesses here, is this is a perfect opportunity for you to get contact your patients, contact your customers, and let them know the changes that are occurring on North Avenue in that corridor. And this is a great communication for them. Let them know how to get around and park to get safely to your appointments or to your business. I think that would be the best way of doing it. And I think that's, you know, we've done that with our patients. You know, when they come in or before they come in, we tell them, hey, great place to park is right here. We have a small parking lot. For a long time, none of my employees would park in the parking lot. We let patients park in there. And after about a year, we realized our patients aren't parking there because it's very difficult to get in and out of my parking spot. So we tell them where to park, where's a safe way to park, how is it to get around, because you cannot turn south on those streets. Thank you.
Jerry Coetzee. Answer with a hard Coetzee.
Hi, I live on the 1500 block of Bonnie Bray, and I've been here for 30 years. Tell you the truth, I didn't see a big problem before this. I think there's a much bigger problem now. I never waited for more than one or two cars on Lemoyne to turn right or left at that time onto Harlem Avenue. You didn't have a one-way street from Bonnie Bray to Harlem, and people are coming across Harlem Avenue from the Chicago side and coming the wrong way down the street. I almost got hit two times coming down Lemoyne to get in my parking spot in the back alley. So I think this has created more of a problem than we had before, in all honesty.
Do you mind me just asking to clarify, where do you see the problem being enhanced?
I can understand maybe making it no left turn onto Harlem, just right turn only. But to close off Bonnie Bray and some of those other streets when you're just turning right onto North Avenue, I don't see any reason for that. People can't access the alley, and a lot of people park in the alleys over there. I'm constantly seeing out my window people making three-point turns on Bonnie Bray because they don't realize it's closed off. They can't get through. Then the alleys are crazy now. The two alleys, the short one and the long one that goes along Bonnie Bray. I just don't see why this was necessary. Honestly, I don't. I don't think it's really a good thing other than maybe no left turn onto Harlem. In my opinion, it's been chaos. And I've been here a long time, so I never had to wait very long before on Lemoyne or anything.
All right. Thank you for your comments. And Kirk?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for serving. It's a very thankless job, and I know you're getting a bunch of opinions, and it's hard to sort it through. I just want to speak against, I live on the 1300 block of William, and as a result of the two streets to my east being north-south being closed, traffic then, the first turn off North Avenue is on William. So it's created an increased traffic flow on William. And I had a very similar experience to some of these people that have spoken. Going to Cassidy Tire Monday morning, I hadn't had to go that way. I avoided that whole section for the reason of the barriers. I get up there, see I can't get through. So then I go, okay, I got to do the three-point turn, come around. And then I committed a crime because I took the alley instead of going on to North Avenue to get east. Because everybody hates North Avenue because it's so busy. So I ended up going down the alley to get to Cassie Tire to get my to get my tire fixed. So it, I can avoid it. I know it's there now. I live there. I can learn to live with it if that's what the decision is. I just don't see, I just hate to see the Oak Park cul-de-sac streets. It drives me crazy when I try to get through there. And so I'm just opposed to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that, you know, it's an example. I mean, it's one thing we always think about are the knock-on effects. If you close one street, you know, we recognize that there's an impact on the adjacent streets. That is something we consider. Uchifora? Como está? What's okay. Your first name?
Giuseppina. Too long to write.
Buonasera.
Buonasera. Oh. Italiano? No. Sì, no,
può, io parlo
no
un po',
quel sì. Nome non è italiano. Anyway, so I'm going to read, otherwise I'm going to start in a tangent. I'm going to talk about the alleys, okay? So let me say first that I'm against the blockade. Point, however, my first concern is to determine their usefulness and what consequences the barriers have on the resident safety and convenience, on traffic and on mitigation in general. And by that, I mean mitigation not only on a couple of streets, but on a much larger section of the village. By blocking the traffic on several streets, the cars are not just going to disappear, but they rerouted to another street. Sometimes there is no closed convenience street and the cars will happily use alleys, creating new and worse problems. Two of them are illustrated in a series of 8 consecutive photos that my assistant here will show. Now, I took this photo on a time span of about 10 minutes, okay, just south of the blockade on Clinton. Each photo was taken with my camera that gives not only the day, but also the time. And I've written the time in post-it notes so that you can clearly see this, all these in 10 minutes. So on that poster over there, the first problem is shown on this picture, okay? And the photo refers to a car coming from North Avenue and going south on Clinton. The car ignores the do not enter sign on Clinton and just goes around the blockade. This happens all the time because it is too long, too complicated, and a real waste of time to find another way. I've seen not only cars, but also Amazon vans, UPS, and small trucks doing the same thing. Uber car often refuse to come, or as we just heard, they just cancel a ride. And this happens all the time.
Is the point of the 1657 photo a car that's going around the barrier the wrong way? Is that?
Yes, it is. It is coming.
That's southbound.
It is coming south from here.
Okay.
And there is a no enter sign on this point, so it should not be allowed. It should
yeah,
be like
already a no right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's what we're looking
okay.
for.
Okay. So now the other 7 photos. Shows the second problem, and let me say that the second problem was actually predicted by the professional experts who wrote the closed study. And this problem is a significantly increased traffic in the alleys. So those 7 photos show cars coming from or going to or simply crossing the alleys, 7 cars in 10 minutes. And they correspond approximately to 1 car every 1.5 minutes. Now, let me say that I've been there more than once. I measured again 10 minutes. I wanted to make sure that it was not just once in a lifetime happening. It happens again. So sometimes instead of 7, it will be 6. Sometimes there are 9. They just use the alleys. Okay, so I was saying the 7 car in 10 minutes corresponded to 1 car every 1.5 minutes. And please, this is important, because I would like to remind the commission member that one of the reasons why the barriers were installed was the complaint of Bonnie Bray residents that in their streets there were 500 cars a day, which corresponds to 1 car every 3 minutes. Okay? So the traffic on Bonnie Bray was considered terrible, a lot, and a problem by the residents. The traffic in the alleys that were created by the barrier is double and is worse. And it is worse because these are alleys and they are not public streets. They are narrow and were built only for those who reside there and for emergency and utility vehicles. The alley east of Clinton is completely paved with bricks. The alley west of Clinton is partially paved with bricks, which means that the unfortunate residents who have windows facing the alleys will hear the music of cars bumping on bricks all the time. And they told me that, and they don't like it. Now, I understand that some residents wanted the barrier also for their own peace and quiet. But if those peace and quiet come at the expense of other residents' peace and quiet and safety, the barriers are not fair and they are not right. A gentleman who is a strong backer of the blockades wrote to me many times that I should not complain because the barriers add just 1/10 of a mile to my commute. He told me to take William or the Vision now that Des Moines and Clinton are partially closed. When I pointed out that by taking William or Division, I'm not mitigating traffic, but I'm actually increasing the number of cars on those streets, his answer was, would you prefer to have those cars on your own street? In the October 10 meeting of last year, I heard repeatedly the word mitigation, but exactly what has been mitigated. Mitigation means alleviation, it means relief. What the barriers accomplished is not mitigation. By forcing of the traffic of a couple of streets with very low and safe traffic in the alleys and to other streets. Residents as far as Jackson, Franklin, and Ashland have complained about the traffic increase in their streets. And you can see their signatures among the hundreds of signatures in our petition requesting the removal of the barriers. Now, let's talk about Oak Park, because if there is cut-through traffic in River Forest, there should be a similar cut-through traffic in Oak Park. What did they do? Oak Park did not close any one of the 17 streets that go from North Avenue south to downtown. They left Des Moines and Greenfield open at Harlem, and they even have Berkshire open at Harlem. We closed access to Bonnie Bray and Clinton from North Avenue, and we partially closed Des Moines and Greenfield, suffocating the traffic. The thing is that if we close streets, we will create higher traffic and congestion somewhere else because cars do not just disappear. This is what the CLOA professional expert told us. This is why they said to us, do not do cul-de-sacs. They warned us about the alleys. If there is too much traffic, common sense suggests to open street, not to close them. As for mitigation, Oak Park uses stop signs, speed bumps, speed humps to slow cars down, just as the CLOA study, which was made by professionals who know what they are doing, suggested. Why don't we do the same thing? That would be mitigation. Let's see if it works. We can always escalate to more stringent measures if those measures are not enough. But one thing is certain. What we have now is not the mitigation. It is the preferential treatment of a couple of streets at the expense of increased traffic and decreased safety in other streets. Lastly, I'm almost done. Lastly, let me say that I've sent letters and email to board members to understand the factual basis of the blockade. As a resident, I wanted to know the real facts on which drastic changes like the blockades are based on my street. So far, I've not been given any solid reason, just talking points and anecdotal evidence backed by no facts and no science. Therefore, member of the commission, whatever your decision is going to be, I ask that you please give us clearly the factual reasons of your decision, objective reasons that are based on facts and science. and can be confirmed by references, by looking at existing previous successful similar studies performed by professional private companies or by U.S. or Illinois government transportation agency experts who can predict what the consequence of the measure will be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will. No, I don't. So I appreciate your comments. We all do. And, you know, one thing I'll note is that, as I noted before, there was one study, and as Jeff noted, there we do have one study already that was done with respect to the Northeast quadrant, and there is the village-wide study. So as I listen to the comments, and I think as we on the commission listen to these comments, at least a question that appears to me is, again, we can only make a recommendation to the village board, and what's going through my mind is, as a result of these comments, pending the further study, do we recommend a change in the meantime? And if we do, what change do we recommend? Do we revert, you know, do we remove the barricades? Do we remove all the barricades? Do we alter the restrictions on Lemoyne and Greenfield to at least allow people who are southbound on Harlem to be able to turn onto Greenfield and Lemoyne? So to the extent that in your comments you could focus on those questions, which is, do you recommend that we keep one or more of the barriers on North Avenue in place, that we change them, or that we whether we should we recommend altering in any way or removing completely the restrictions on Greenfield and Lemoyne? I think those kind of comments would be the most helpful for us as we try to gauge where people are on these issues. Hey?
No.
Me? No, but go ahead.
I thought I was after.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Stephanie Petersmark.
Okay.
I'm relatively new to the village, just moving in August of 22. I'm at the intersection of Clinton and Greenfield. Owned the property for a number of years, but only just recently moved. I face Greenfield, like my kitchen, for example, so I get to watch a lot of this go on. I do have small children who play in the yard and cross the street on Clinton, on Lemoyne, on Greenfield. I want to also start by saying I think we all agree on a major aspect of this. We want slowed traffic and safer streets, right? So we don't really disagree that much. What we seem to disagree about is why there should be partial barricades blocking cars coming off of these major streets. They are creating safety issues. I'm going to try and be quick because I think you guys have heard a lot of this before. Number one, the alleys. We've already almost been hit on the alleys. I see signs saying children are playing in the alleys, and yet we're encouraging cars to speed down these alleys and use them more frequently. Number two, people who are turning onto these streets. You know, the argument that perhaps soon enough people will become familiar with it, I just don't buy it. I don't think that's going to happen. And even in the meanwhile, people are going to be getting into accidents. I often see people do things against the law, as some of the people here today have admitted. Okay, it's highly inconvenient what has been done with these barricades on half of a two-way street. It really, I've never even seen anything like it before, yeah. Let alone at so many points. You've blocked me in to my house. I have a hard time now accessing and returning from my appointments to see Dr. Jill or Dr. Shauna. I don't understand where this came from. Slowed traffic does not equal partial barricades on a two-way street, and I just don't understand where it came from. The third thing those barricades are doing are creating safety issues for anyone who might be in distress. Should an emergency vehicle need to reach you? Perhaps you're having a cardiac arrest. Every second count. Now, who do you think is going to be responsible for that? When we have a village who has made a decision to do something against the evidence that it paid to acquire, not liking the outcome, as someone else has suggested, is not a good excuse. And a court is not going to say that's okay. So if someone dies and says, hey, it took you an extra 15 seconds to get to me, and if I had life-saving equipment for my choking five-year-old, she would be okay right now. We're going to say, well, somebody wanted to put a barricade to block people from coming into your community. Sorry. It's just not acceptable. It needs to come down now to the question from Mr. Reed. It needs to come down now. And I said this the first time I came to one of the meetings that I was told to continue to come to this meeting months later.
Do you support any?
Barricades ought to be removed.
Okay.
Immediately.
Just want to be clear. Yes,
I would like to be very clear on that. I want the barricades removed immediately. I believe there should be no right turn signs if people don't want the traffic. I believe there should be stop signs at all of these streets, including Clinton on Greenfield, at Bonnie Bray, and at Clinton. I think you will notice significantly decreased traffic flow, if that is your other issue. You will both decrease traffic flow and you will slow cars down. An argument that people don't follow the law, then why do we have laws at all? Get the police there to enforce the laws. Not to mention that a stop sign, everyone will say, at least is causing people to pause. I see people going what appears to be close to 50 miles an hour on my street every morning. And if there were stop signs there, they would at least pause at those. I should hope, if not, the police can come and enforce that and ticket those people. Hopefully one ticket would do the trick to that person and they could tell their friends. Okay, the other thing. The major reason this started, I was told, was not to create some sort of gated community for certain residents, but to slow speeding traffic and decrease the flow. However, on Greenfield, where I live, I'm now having traffic blocked up from Harlem all the way to Clinton. This is an average Friday at 2:30. While this traffic was backing up, trying to turn south on Harlem, I notice a car accident in the making where someone pauses at the Clinton stop heading south to Greenfield. Someone on Greenfield, no doubt focusing on the cars parked in the street and the accumulating traffic, almost gets hit by the guy heading south on Clinton. They all start honking and yelling at each other. Okay, this is not better. It is worse. Slowing traffic and decreasing traffic flow, do what all of the other streets have done west of William. Put no right turn signs. If that's what you want to do, and not allow other people to go in and out of our community, which I also have a problem with, but I do want slowed traffic. I don't see traffic from trucks. People want to complain about trucks, put up a no commercial truck sign. That's what other people do. So barricades, I just see no explanation for them. They're creating safety risks and they're exposing us, not to mention the expense of putting all this stuff in. Okay, and then there's the fact that the speeding persists. That it's by local residents doesn't make it better. Speeding is not okay.
Thank you. Ms. Lay, 1418 Clinton.
Lau.
Is that LAU?
LAU.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Ines Lau. I live in 14 Clinton Place. I don't want to keep everyone here all night long. I'm not going to add much other than I'm against these blockades. It hasn't helped. Actually, it's the opposite, quite the opposite. I don't want to repeat everything you've just said. You speak like I do. I just wanted to make my position clear. And my husband, who is in Texas, couldn't be here. As a mother, and I have my family, and I worry, and it's a safety issue. I'm not here pointing the finger to anyone at anyone. We all want safety for our families. We all want to feel not worry about our kids, and that's why I'm here. So I would like the barricades
moved. Yeah. At least on Clinton?
Do you have all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
I'm Ken Heiferman. I've lived in River Forest for over 30 years. I agree with the last three speakers with the reasons that they gave for being opposed to the barricades. But I'm here because my sister has a dental office on North Avenue and Clinton, and she can't make it. But she wanted me to convey the idea that she gets numerous complaints from her patients who have difficulty with navigating and finding their way in the area, and they have to drive several blocks out of their way if they make a wrong turn. And that's really about it, that she's got complaints from a business standpoint from her patients complaining about the situation.
Appreciate that. Fifteen Jackson. Well, it's Modest. Okay. I don't speak Greek.
My name is Pete Tomaros. I live on 1515 Jackson Avenue, River Forest. The reason I'm here, I am for those barricades. Those barricades, to me, is unacceptable. Also, people, they see those barricades, they think we live in a criminal area. River Forest community is one of the best community, and I'm surprised, you know what I mean, the village they allow to put those barricades over there. I can see any other place, but not River Forest. I love River Forest, it's a nice community, but those barricades, they have to move. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it Ed Kemper?
Yeah. Good evening. My name is Ed Kemper. I live at 1423 Bonnie Bray. I've moved there about a year ago, but I spent 20 years on the 500 block of Franklin. And people would ask me, after I moved, what do you think of it? And I would always say, it's amazing. I can't believe how quiet it is. This is before the barriers went up. If you want to see high speeds, the 500 block of Franklin is your place, or trucks, or a lot of congestion. I appreciate all that you guys have to deal with here, but I would bring the perspective. It is not that. I'm shocked. When the barriers went up, I was like, shocked that the reason was there was too much traffic involved up there. I kept an open mind. I do not think it's been good for the local businesses. I don't think it's safer. I now drive 10 extra blocks to get to my house if I'm coming from the south or the north or the west or from the east. From the west, I'm fine. But a lot of the time, I'm driving my route home now, and I'm thinking I could be sitting in my living room, because if you turn left off of Harlem on Lemoyne or Greenfield, down the alley into my garage, boom, I'm in my living room. Now I'm like blocks away from my house. I think I'm creating more safety issues, right? All these, and I should say my next door neighbor is a 19 unit condo building. So it's not, I'm saying me, but I mean, and maybe density is something to think about here too. There's a lot of people on those blocks up there that are affected by this. I'm not a greenie, but I would think no one said anything about the environmental here. I mean, you're asking a lot of cars to drive an extra 10 blocks to get home every night. I just think, or several times a day, really.
So you're against the barriers.
So I am against the barriers.
How about
the, I would say, answers to your question, yeah, immediacy. I would say, I think we spend enough time on this. I think they should come down. I think all of them should come down. I'm more of just a, you know, people can figure it out. I mean, it's been like, that was the original village plan. I don't know why we need to mess with it. Anyway,
Thank you.
Thanks.
Constantine, I can't read your last name. Constantine, what's your last name? It is. Okay, I got it.
I wish to thank Chairman Reese and all the commission members for their service to our village, first and foremost. Having served on several academic and professional boards during my career, I know the sacrifices to family time that you've all made, and I appreciate them. Additionally, I wish to thank Mr. Kuklanis for his prompt, professional, and transparent communication. This evening, I address the committee and our community with my concerns regarding the recently implemented changes to traffic flow. A lifelong resident of River Forest, I resided on the 1400 block of Clinton Place for 25 years, 1400 block of Bonnie Bray for 10 years, and the 1200 block of Ashland for the last 21 years. I believe it's fair to say I'm acquainted with our village. For 21 years, I practiced my specialty in downtown Oak Park. In 2015, I began the acquisition process of a commercial building at the corner of Clinton Place and North Avenue. Like other business owners, I was attracted to the northeast region of the village because it offered two commodities in short supply on Lake Street. Patients were delighted at both the ease of access and parking that our new location afforded. This all began to change late November of 2022. I can argue about whether we got notice we got. We had no clue. My staff came and said, Dr. Pallias, look what's going on outside. The barriers came up. End of story. The barriers to traffic flow implemented during the past few months have resulted in significant confusions when directional services like Google Maps and Waze and ride services like Uber and Lyft are utilized. Of course, of concern to many is the traffic safety issues have not improved. Rather, they have deteriorated by us, ladies and gentlemen. Violations in traffic regulations, such as U-turns on North Avenue, drivers simply ignoring the do not enter sign on Clinton, and vehicular speeding occur multiple times every day. Markedly increased traffic flow through the already precarious alleyways is clearly apparent to anyone that's around that area. Increased cut-through traffic now flows down Williams past the Montessori School, across Division where children cross for Willard School, and through the narrow alleyways in the Northeast region. A taxpayer-funded study, and I'm sorry to bore you all with this, but a taxpayer-funded study was commissioned by the village to, and I quote, address the primary traffic concerns within the neighborhood. The following three paragraphs are direct excerpts from that study. No crashes were reported to IDOT at the following intersections during a five-year review period: Lemoyne and Bonnie Bray, Lemoyne and Clinton Place. Additionally, a review of the crash data indicated there were no fatalities, thank God, reported. As indicated previously, excerpt number two, traffic volumes along Bonnie Bray, Clinton Place, and William Street are within the established standards of residential roads and are consistent with the traffic volume of other local residential roadways within the village. Excerpt number four, before these measures are implemented, particularly the vertical deflection measures, i.e. the barriers at Clinton and Bonnie Bray, a thorough evaluation will need to be conducted to examine the impact of the measures / devices, as others have mentioned, including emergency vehicle access and response times, diversion of traffic to other neighborhood streets, drainage impacts, costs, maintenance, impacts on the commercial properties along North Avenue. The study then goes on to say they would likely have an adverse effect on the commercial properties along North Avenues. Indeed, they have. In healthcare, we are constantly challenged to prescribe treatment based on the best evidence-based research. In our courts of law, we are asked to make our decisions based on the evidence presented. While emotional appeals are often persuasive, the implementation of measures that impact our whole community must be based on the evidence of professionals. A draft of the Traffic and Study Commission minutes dated September 21, 2022 stated it, meaning the recommendations, will be taken to the village board and everyone will get notification to attend the board meeting. My friends, that never happened. I must have been completely asleep at the wheel. I must have not opened that mail. I must have never seen that email. I do find that hard to believe. The draft then goes on to state three motions are going to the board meeting and proper notice will be given to the residents. How many of you received proper notice? One, two, three. Amazing. Like me, we never got it. And guess what? We live in the same village. So how it selectively permeated to certain individuals and not to a lot of people that it very definitely impacted, okay. I'm a bit confused.
Okay. Making good points. That's not a good one.
Okay. Fair enough. Because I am not by any trying to be petty, by any stretch of imagination. On October 10, 22, the Village Board approved the ordinance enabling the barriers recommended by the commission to be constructed. Respectfully, I pose two questions. Did the short 18-day period allow for, as the study recommends, a thorough evaluation to be conducted to examine the impact of these measures? Was proper notice of these actions provided to the local residents and business communities. I'm sure that you, the Traffic Safety Commission, recommendations were made with good intention and with the safety concerns of our citizenry in mind. Unfortunately, the multiple traffic barriers erected have resulted in the punitive effect of walling off the northeast region of our village. As a business owner, commercial, and residential taxpayer in River Forest, I ask the commission to consider both the recommendations made by the traffic professionals at KLA and our perspective on this issue when reevaluating your recommendation to the board. And I thank you for your time. We just point for you. Well aware that these petitions really don't mean anything, but we had a petition and signed by 253 residents of the area to say that there is an overwhelming amount of support for these. I don't believe that that's fair. It may be a little disingenuous. So thank you for your time, and I appreciate it.
Maltese.
Hello, I'm Nick Maltese. I own the business at 7325 North Avenue. We've been in the community for 56 years, and these barriers have become have a negative effect on our business. A lot of customers complaining. They're frustrated. I have a lot of elderly customers from Oak Park, and they have a hard time coming to the business because there's so many barricades around, and get a lot of deliveries through the alley, and they're having a hard time making the turn from onto Clinton, from Clinton into the alley, and that's been a problem. And I also commute every day, and I park in the alley. We have a garage in the alley, so I have to back out and very cautiously backing out of the garage, make sure I don't get hit by a car, because there's a lot of cars flying by. I just oppose barricades. I'll keep it short. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
No, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Is it Hot? 24 Ashlands. That's okay. You're very welcome to skip. Jack Lesniak.
I'll be very short. I agree with what's been said as far as taking the barriers down. There's too much more. There's more traffic now than before on Greenfield and getting to Harlem. I'm upset that the way it's set up now, we're not very inviting to other people getting into River Forest in that section. Somehow I find that a little morally wrong. The other thing is that nobody's mentioned this, but if you're going west on North Avenue and you make the turn at Williams during rush hour, you're causing a traffic problem. And I've seen that happen where there's three or four cars. Now you've got people turning onto William, and you've got a lot of people coming out of Binney's to get into the traffic flow. And during rush hour, it starts to back up, and that's a busy street. And that's all because of these barriers. There's no way to get into River Forest if you're coming from the east or from the north easily into that section. I live on Bonnie Bray between Greenfield and Lemoyne. And now I have to go around the block just to get to my house if I'm coming from those directions.
Economos.
Hi, I'm Lisa Lantero Economos. I've lived in the village since about 1972. I've lived at Clinton and Lemoyne for 35 years plus and raised my family there. very familiar with the area. I echo the comments of everyone who's gone before me and some of the things that Dean pointed out from the study. But to address some of the things you said, I would just like to point out that I went back and looked in trying to make myself knowledgeable about what happened, because I was very surprised at the barriers coming up. And I thought that I kept myself apprised of what was going on in the village. I went back and looked at what I could find in the meeting minutes and so forth. And I think part of the problem is twofold. One, the typical practice of the Traffic and Safety Commission, if someone wants to make a change, is that you require that they submit a petition that also has 75% support from the residents in the surrounding area, and you determine who that is. Well, frankly, I think that there's less than that amount of support for what happened here, and we were never, I didn't receive notice of this, and I'm sure that had people received notice of this, you would have got a much stronger force. Also, in terms of the relevance of speeding and so forth and having a real problem there, well, the report reflects that, in fact, it's operating the way it should operate, and that's pretty much what I have seen. Given that, why would we think that any drastic measures were going to be implemented? Also, the report came out in July. If you looked at the report, which you all had, it's 200 pages plus, my gosh, not only did the report say that it was operating, the area was operating, the streets were operating the way that they were supposed to, as well, it made some recommendations to calm traffic, but in fact specifically recommended against the types of measures that were eventually put in place. Asked them to come back in September with further recommendations. They did. They came back in September with some more recommendations. I read them. You didn't feel those were adequate. And then at that meeting, it became suggested, I think it was Rick, said, let's do this. Well, how would we know that? That wasn't in the report. It was never by petition. All of a sudden, you guys, it comes up, let's do it. You make that recommendation to the board, and then it's going to the board. I mean, I didn't even see any discussion with the board about the fact that that was clearly not a recommendation from the study, but against the recommendation from the study. So I think that there's been some miscommunication probably what's happening. I am, and my husband as well, completely in favor of removing all the barriers, everything that's been put in place as a result of this. And since we are doing a village-wide traffic study shortly, I would suggest, I mean, we're spending, that's a $98,000 study. We just spent $16,000 on the Northeast Quadrant. I think we have to either rely on the study or determine why it's inadequate and why we don't want to follow or believe in what it says. I also think that every person in that area wants the streets to be safe, but it should be implemented in a very fact-based and science-based way, and it should be done gradually, like the traffic consultant suggested to you. Now take this measure. If it doesn't work, go to the next measure. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Anna and Rob Izanorian. That's Novick.
I'm Dr. Shauna Novick. I own Novick Orthodontics, 7351 West North Avenue. This is my husband, Rob Novick. So I resonate with everyone that has spoken tonight. I think there are very valid points made about the barriers and why they shouldn't be there. For me and the businesses that are along the Clinton area of North Avenue, the barricades have very much limited accessibility to our practices, as well as created a corridor of danger for our patients. I treat a lot of our children trying to walk back and forth from their parents' cars to the office, the amount of congestion. I mean, it's just that whole area is just not built for the type of traffic that it was intended to flow very freely in that area. I think River Forest is an amazing, beautiful, beautiful, and I call it a village from my heart. I am so proud to be here and practice here. But ultimately, you know, what this has created is, maybe I can let you speak a little bit more about.
Is a scar that is going to grow and grow and away from that image that River Forest upholds. Drive down North Avenue through Chicago, where businesses have had to been forced out due to people moving out or not able to get to their businesses, those shuttered spots. That's what's going to happen along North Avenue and Harlem. It's going to be little, small mom-pop places that are going to close up and just sit there empty and not be able to be rebuilt or re-energized with new business, because no one's going to want to move in there. It's going to kill the property value, and it's going to kill the property value of the residents as well, because nobody's going to want to live in that area. It's going to be like a fungus, a fungus that took to get to this, that is finally showed its face, and it's not going to be good.
I think, like, you know, what a lot of people are saying tonight is there weren't a lot of our voices heard initially, and John, thank you for explaining everything. I think you did a really good job of, like, kind of explaining the thought process behind all of this. And we understand, you know, like, the residents here care about their village, they care about the streets they live on, they care about the safety of their children. Completely understood. But what has happened is honestly a mistake, and we're seeing
we're seeing
the consequence of that. And I think everyone's talking about, like, everything that they're going through because of this. And so, you know, what we're requesting is the removal of all the barricades immediately while these decisions are being made, so that we can ensure the safety of everyone involved and the flow of the traffic as it was prior to, which was working for what I believe is the majority of everyone here, until some sort of resolution can be made. And I think, you know, what Dean spoke about, evidence-based, fact-based, look at the study, its recommendations, and follow what those that, you know, are knowledge-based are asking us to do might be a better way to do this with, you know, I don't know, the study talked about speed bumps, stop signs, things of those nature that won't bottleneck the traffic, which is what is happening now.
Thank you. Thanks, both. Anna San Lucas.
Good evening, everyone. I am a 25-year resident of River Forest, originally from New York. You want to talk congestion, speed, and chaos? I know something about it. Being a resident, you know, and living here 25 years, I've gotten to know the area pretty well. I take frequent walks. I cycle through the village. Back in the day, I used to actually run. So I'm very familiar with the traffic flow and patterns of the specific quadrant that we're talking about. One thing I want to point out is this particular section is very dense with residents. There are condo buildings, townhouses, apartment rentals in this specific quadrant. I live right on the 1500 block of Bonnie Bray. The alley behind, directly behind, parallel to Bonnie Bray, has about 80 cars parked in that alley. People coming and going all the time. Throw in the extra traffic now. We have cutting through because people cannot turn onto Clinton and Bonnie Bray, and it is chaos. Last night, I was there. Someone came down our alley at probably 40 miles per hour. They turned on and they gunned their SUV down the alleyway. I, as a resident now, have to be very cautious and even fearful of leaving my house to get out of the area in my own alley. We're not even talking the front street. Our street has basically become a dead end, which means no one can come in and it's very hard for them to actually get out of the area. So in short, I just echo what everybody else has said. The barriers are unnecessary. Prior to this, I have not noticed any unusual traffic activity or congestion. There has been speeding on Lemoyne and Greenfield, which I totally acknowledge, but the barricades do not eliminate that issue. Speed bumps and other measures would be more adequate for deterring that kind of behavior. So in short, I agree with everyone. The barricades need to go. Thank you.
Thank you. McMahon.
Hi, I'm Jill McMahon. I am a dentist. I have a practice on the corner of Clinton and North Avenue. Actually, my practice sits kind of like right at the corner of Clinton and the alley. So, and the building comes all the way up to the sidewalk, pretty much. So that corner there is a blind corner anyway, and it's a spot that sort of is an area that has been of concern that I've been concerned about for my patients since we moved in. But now, since the barricades have gone in, we are seeing so much more traffic there, and it's so much faster. The cars are so much faster coming down. And a lot of times, because you can't have two-way traffic on that alley, there have been many, many times where I witness delivery trucks coming in opposite directions and cars coming off of North Avenue onto Clinton and cars trying to come out of Clinton towards North Avenue. And everybody's kind of stuck because there's cars parked on both sides of Clinton up until the alley and no one can turn. And it's, extremely problematic there. So that's really my main addition to everything that everyone else has already said. I oppose the barricades. I would like them all to come down. I think that we should look more at what the study had recommended and in terms of, remediating the issues. And I also think that the traffic isn't necessarily cut through in terms of like just people just going straight through the village and they're not here for something legitimate. I think that really a lot of the cars that are turning down these streets are coming in and out legitimately. And, there's just a lot of traffic there. So, I don't think we're doing much to get rid of cars that we're cutting through. We're just kind of making the lives more difficult for everybody that was just already going to be coming through. We just want to try to like slow them down maybe. And one other thing. I can't even really explain to my new patients, how to get to my practice now if they're coming from Oak Park and they're heading north on North Avenue. They have to go all the way to Division and then weave all through the neighborhood to get to my practice, because I can't really direct them to come straight to Clinton because there's only a couple parking spots there and they're all taken up by people that work on North Avenue. So there's never really spots right in front of our practice for people to park. So that means that they have to park into the neighborhood. And the only way that they can get there now is to go all the way through. And now they're driving through the neighborhood where they're going to be, potentially driving past schools and things like that, where we're just kind of doing the same kind of behaviors that we're trying to avoid initially in this process. So,
I don't think anybody was from the Harlem. I have a Harlem address, and I'm right between Greenfield and Lemoyne. and I feel trapped to get out, to go anywhere north. It takes me out of my way. When I first moved in 8 years ago, I really, one of the reasons why I chose to purchase my townhouse was because of the closeness to Harlem, because I work in Riverside. I could come right down, and I was willing to abide by do not turn from 7 to 9 and 4 to 6, and that worked out fine. But now even on weekends when I need to go shopping or do something else, I have to go a long way out of my way just to get out, when I am really, I'm the first townhouse from the alley. So one house is between me and Greenfield, and there is no easy way out. And I was debating on coming here until I heard that the traffic study that was done had not recommended this. And that's what got me angry, that if you're going to spend money and ask for professional, you know, advice, to suddenly say, no, we're not going to follow this. And I'm not sure if this is correct, because Facebook isn't always correct, but there was a posting on Facebook that said Village President Kathy Aducci said that they do not have to listen to that, that they could do what they want. And I think that is terrible if that is the truth, because the Northeast, I feel like I'm in a gated community, but I'm the one being gated in, not any, you know, I can't get out. So I would love to see safety. I'm not against, you know, having times, et cetera, but I don't think the barriers are the solution.
We'll say that I'm beginning to rue the day that we, you know, departed from the recommendation from KLOA. But, I, you know, as I mentioned earlier, to Lisa Economos' comment, you know, historically, and I've been on this commission for a long time, as if several of us have, we've done things in an incremental way. Obviously not as incremental as it as other things, and we've generally adhered to the recommendation of the experts. I will say in this case, and I think John indicated that, you know, we also had a very a group of, you know, interested residents, and we try to residents. And to that last point, I don't know what Kathy said, but you know, we, you know, these are just like our recommendations are not binding. The consultants aren't binding, but I do agree. I think we all agree with trying to have evidence-based decisions the best we can. But at the same time, we're also trying to be accommodating. For whatever reason, you know, we didn't have this crowd here when we discussed it over the course of several meetings. So we still have more names to go. We also want to make sure that we have time to discuss it. So, you know, this is sort of in action. I will read that people should have an opportunity to talk, and so I'm not going to filibuster, but, you know, ask people to frankly state if you're against the barricades or if you're against changes or if you're for something. Let us know. You know, we've heard many of the arguments, and I'm not trying to shut off anybody from making any new or additional arguments. I'd like to make sure that we reserve time so that we can have a discussion on these issues. So, Karen and Charles, is it? Thanks. How about Bonnie Parker?
All had a long day. Hi, I'm Bonnie Parker. I'm at 1435 Clinton Place. I am against the barriers. Just a couple things I wanted to point out that really haven't been addressed before is looking back at the minutes from the September 21st meeting, it did say that there would be, you know, proper notification. All I have is a question. Who was supposed to do that? Who was responsible for notifying us? Because, granted, I haven't been to a meeting before other than or before this issue came up, but didn't receive a notice. We've been at the house since 2000. So, you know, I try to stay involved, but
we didn't receive any notifications that barriers were going up. One of the other points that was alluded to was, and this has happened to us, when we're on eastbound Greenfield trying to turn south onto Harlem, people are coming across from Oak Park and coming head on and ignoring, you know, it's become dangerous. I noticed Oak Park doesn't have any signage saying it's a left turn only or a right turn only, so they're not really at fault for coming across. There is a sign now that says road closed to through traffic going eastbound on Greenfield on the Oak Park side. I don't know what purpose that sign is now serving, but I noticed it went up the last couple. The only other issue I wanted to bring up was we were at the board meeting on Monday night. The trustees seemed to be unclear as to if these barricades were permanent or not. When I look at the October 10th board meeting minutes, three times in the minutes, it says that these barriers or changes are temporary, pending the village-wide study, pending other things. Monday night, several trustees said, no, these are permanent. That concerns me. And one of the trustees was maintaining they were temporary. And there was a discussion about that. And they basically told Trustee Buckner that she was wrong, that these are permanent. Permanent? I guess that's my biggest concern. You know, I understand they went up. You're trying to help. We're all trying to make it a better area. And I appreciate the hard work and all the dedication that you all have on this committee. But that's my biggest issue.
They're red and white plastic because, in my understanding, they were temporary. Whether there would be a permanent barrier session would, mm-hmm. in my understanding, and I think in our up to the board.
Kathy's response to that was, we couldn't pour concrete during the winter, and that the concrete will be poured and it's budgeted. So
anyway, they kicked it back to us and to hear you all and make whatever recommendation we can make. So
I'm gonna
defer the question on notice because we could talk about that, but I don't know that there's value in sort of relitigating the past. I mean, whether you received notice or didn't, I mean, we've heard loud and clear that a lot of people feel like they didn't get need to. We can address the way notice seems to me we're moving forward here with.
I just want to know what to look out for in the future when there's a notice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Jeff, do you want to just comment briefly on the types of notice the village gives?
Sure. For more regional projects like this, similar to the commuter parking study that was done a few years ago, as well as the Safe Routes to School project, which both came through this group, because they're so regional and it's hard to pin down exactly who might be interested in that, we've heard from people that are over on Park Avenue about this particular issue. So for regional things, we try to blanket the entire village. So we use a lot of our electronic notification means. In this particular project, if you will, we touched base on it four times in four different monthly newsletters, six e-news messages, and this counting tonight now, this is our fifth public meeting wherein it was discussed. We've also got two different web pages set up on the village website that are at least in part talking about it. And then similar to what we did for the commuter parking study, notification postcards went out to only those immediately adjacent to the changes. So not the 1400 blocks, but the 1500 blocks of Clinton and Bonnie received postcards were sent through the 1500 blocks of Clinton and Bonnie, as well as the 7200 blocks of Lemoyne and Greenfield after the recommendations were approved by the board, but before implementation. That's kind of the full rundown of the notification that.
Good to know. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Catherine. Is it Byrne?
First, I'd just like to say thank you for listening. I've been to a couple of board meetings, probably three or four, to address this issue. I'm with the camp that is against the barricades. I also would like to be able to go right on Clinton Place, which is the street where I live. And I would like to be able to go right on Greenfield and instead of having to go all the way to Division. I've been a resident of River Forest for over 30 years. I raised three children here. I've never had any issues with traffic or accidents or speeding. I also walk every day, and I walk down Clinton and Greenfield. And since these barricades have gone up, I have seen nothing but speeding traffic. My neighbor who lives on the corner has three adorable little children. I see them walking down the street. I see cars flying by. It makes me very nervous. I want to get rid of the barricades. I want to be able to go right on my street. Notice, I guess I'll be more aware of looking at the Village website for now on, because we didn't receive, I mean, if you gave it to the 1500 block, clearly it's going to affect the 1400 block. My Catherine, address is 1411.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. When you say right on Clinton, you're saying if you're eastbound on North Avenue, you want to be able to turn right south on Clinton? And
right.
Okay.
Correct. Correct. And right on Greenfield. Now I'll either have to go right on Lathrop, or I'll have to go down to Division.
Got it. Thank
and
you.
I see the traffic crazy all over the place, and I just think it's a bigger headache and a lot more risk for the Village.
Got it. And Wes Sadek?
Guys, I'm Dan. I live at 1400 Bonnie Bray, which is on Greenfield. My family's lived here for 12 years. I want to thank everyone for sharing their voice tonight. I'm just going to give some quick observations on my end and some additional points that maybe haven't been raised. So before the traffic mitigation, specifically on Greenfield and Harlem, it was my observation that traffic was a lot heavier. There was a lot more non-neighborhood traffic that caused a lot of speeding. I have two kids, and like I think everyone in this room, my focus is safety above potential, you know, inconvenience of having to, like I do, spend a few more moments or minutes to re-enter the neighborhood to get to my house. And when the traffic mitigation was put in, I do agree, and I also observed that initially there was a lot of disobedience. But then when police started to police it, after a few days, I noticed a pretty significant change with traffic reduced, speeding reduced, and at least in my opinion, for where I live and for my kids, I felt it was a lot safer and is a lot safer. Perhaps we can ask the police that area what their observation has been as far as obedience, if that learning curve has indeed happened. You know, people are learning that those barricades are there, that they're supposed to obey those, and that they are obeying them. And then I would just say one point that hasn't been brought up. Before the traffic mitigation, I would say that far too often there was a lot of serious accidents on Harlem because of people turning left or going straight off of Harlem onto Greenfield or Lemoyne, or turning left off of Greenfield and Lemoyne onto Harlem, or going straight across. I don't know if this is the case, and again, police records would probably be able to show it factually. I have observed that there haven't been any of those accidents. I live close enough to know when I walk my dog and am out in the neighborhood just going for walks and runs, I haven't noticed police cars and ambulance like I did before. But I just thought that was a point maybe worth considering. And then as far as Oak Park traffic mitigation, I mean, I think that they also have those similar things that we have as temporary off of North Avenue, and actually even are doing that off of Harlem. But again, for me, it's about safety, and I really, truly do appreciate everyone's voice here tonight. So,
go ahead. Are you advocating to keep everything the way it is?
That, well, yes, based on my observation and me wanting safety for my kids, based on my observation, is my recommendation to keep the traffic mitigation in place.
You have a stronger preference for the restriction on...
I think, so, I mean, I feel that they're all improving safety, but I know that people here have voiced, and, you know, there are different parts of the neighborhood, but I feel that, again, I see less traffic, not only on Greenfield, but also on Bonnie Bray, and that's the corner I live on. And, you know, there's other traffic mitigation efforts that we could take in addition to this. It doesn't just have to be this, you know, people that are concerned elsewhere in the village. But I don't want it, it almost at times felt like a neighborhood, and it almost felt like a highway to me, Greenfield.
On Dine? Oh, he had to leave. Okay. We have M.K. Krause and Ron Krause. One at a time or together, however you want to do it.
We're a team.
We're a team. We've been a team for a while.
Yeah. I'm Mary Catherine Krause, and this is my husband, Ron. We live at 7301 Greenfield Street. We're at the corner of Greenfield and Bonnie Bray. Our driveway is actually behind the drive of to go into the Fenwick Fields. So based on our experience, we, especially in the nicer months, we sit on our front porch and watch neighbors walk by. We see a lot of speeding and a lot of traffic, especially with sports and kids around Fenwick coming in and out either for the games or just for practice. And we have definitely seen a difference in the amount of traffic and the high speeding traffic with the mitigation measures. Again, I know we're all here for safety, and the measures put in so far, we can see a difference. It's whether either it's been the stop signs. I feel that the plastic structures at Greenfield have definitely reduced the amount of traffic on Greenfield, and would like it to be permanent, seeing that this has made a difference.
Would you be in favor of adjusting the, say, the Greenfield, but right now Greenfield and Lemoyne are the same? Keep some restriction there to prevent people from turning left, if they're northbound on Harlem, from turning left onto Greenfield or Lemoyne, but to open it up to allow people who are southbound on Harlem to turn right onto Greenfield or right onto Lemoyne.
Yeah.
Probably talk about that in a little bit, but So, you know, you're there directly affected by that. And so if I am understanding correctly, you like the idea of some kind of a restriction of a barrier, but you would be more in favor. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just trying to understand that that could be accommodated so that if you were heading southbound on Harlem to be able to turn onto Greenfield or turn onto Lemoyne, that would...
Yeah, me.
Okay. Thank you.
I disagree.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I mean, I'll be
sorry,
simple.
Ron. You're
I think,
staying in the den.
I mean, we're all going. We've been here a long time, so I'm going to echo. I am in favor of the support of the traffic mitigation measures that have been in place so far. I think, like Mary Catherine was mentioning, I've definitely noticed a slowdown in traffic. Can everybody hear me okay? She mentioned that we do sit on our front porch a lot, and to my measure, I can only see eastbound traffic really well, and I can at least anecdotally say that it is majority cut through traffic because I do pay attention to the stickers in the window. And I can tell a River 4 sticker versus Chicago or an absence of a sticker. So take that for what it's worth. Speaking of anecdotally, I'd also say that we are the only village or the only part of that intersection for the most part that has open access from Lathrop all the way to Harlem, but every other Elmwood Park, Oak Park, and Chicago have virtually all of their streets blocked. That's like the only place for people to get through, which naturally causes more traffic. And one thing is people have mentioned the study, and the study is based upon, I'm not a traffic scientist by any measure, but it's based upon tolerances, and it said we were in a respectable range. Does that mean, do we want to be above average, meaning less traffic in the village? And some people have met, I've worked from my house. I have clients come to my office, and when the traffic measures went up, I just would mention to them, hey, by the way, don't follow your ways, go this way so you can get to my house. It hasn't really been a problem. So to make it really simple, I'm in favor of what's been done, and I'm hopefully looking forward to more in terms of traffic measures that were discussed, stop signs, everything else to help slow the traffic. Thank you.
And again, sorry to keep sort of adding on. Thank you. But, you know, I will say that I think the main impetus, at least as I recall it, was not so much to regulate speed, regulate traffic. Panton? American?
I spoke the last time. Thank you for having me. I'm going to echo everyone who spoke about against. I'm against the barricades. When I spoke, oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm Marika Panton. I have three kids. I'm at 1137 Park Avenue, Park and Division. When I spoke the last time in February, one of the focuses I had talked about was these streets that have been closed down, now all of a sudden Division is the new Thurl Street. So I don't know whether there's a wedding going on or a funeral. The constant cars is endless and very dangerous. North River Forest has over 7 schools, 2 universities, private schools, high school, where South River Forest only has 2 schools. All their local businesses are all on Lake, very easy to access and park. What you're doing now for these poor businesses, you're hurting them. People don't want to park. Elderly do not want to park on North Avenue. You're risking your life. Children, mothers with young kids don't want to take their kids for braces. They're risking their life. Dentists, whatever they are, Cassidy Tire. My tires were so low in January with that cold front we had. When I went on Bonnie Bray, I was in a maze. It was 7:30 in the morning, which there was absolutely no traffic. I could have easily been there in 10 minutes. I can come back and take my kids to school for 8 o'clock at OPRF. I was practically late because I had to literally go all the way around through the alley, the Grandma's Sally's, I think it's called Egg Yolk now, and it's becoming very difficult to do these small trips that were no-brainers at one time. Now, all of a sudden, now it's like a math equation. You have these business owners who specifically spent time figuring out that this was the best, you know, place for their businesses. You know, they're bringing in, their revenue has gone down because now people are saying, hey, maybe we don't want to go to you, doctor. And then they're going to go somewhere else. And the access is poor now. And they're giving so much tax revenue to this village of ours.
So
you're again, benefiting
you like,
from
you them. Would like the barriers.
I want them all removed.
Okay.
I have kids at the who play at the practice fields of the Athletic of Fenwick. It's going to be difficult for somebody to come see them play. Where are we? Where's this field? Division now is the new street. Alleys are a mess. Should only be utility vehicles. Nothing else. And last thing is, again, the alley should just be for people who are doing work, you know, ComEd, whatever. And I'm worried about these kids. 7 schools as opposed to the 2 on South River Forest. Big difference.
Thank you.
Okay? Thank you. Solutions, hopefully the speed bumps, the speed humps, flashing lights,
and more four-way stops.
I have more on my list. I'd like to on Zoom. We'd like to get through. I'd like to get through those in 9 at the latest. We can have a discussion. So I ask you, please keep your comments brief if you can. But if you have points that haven't been made, please. Terry Williams, 7307 Greenfield.
Hi, Gary Williams. I'm at 7307 Greenfield, next to the Krauses. And we've been there for 27 years in that house. State right off, I am not against the barriers. I've been involved with this group and study for well over a year now. Registered professional engineer in the state of Illinois. And I did review the consultant's report in detail, along with several other people's as well. I actually reviewed the scope of work that KLOA did before they did the study, and submitted for a full page of comments about deficiencies and the things that they weren't covering. Most of my comments were largely ignored. So as far as relying on a professional engineer, I think they did a disservice to the village. It was not their best. Happy to see that the village-wide study has been awarded to a different consultant. Qualitatively, I feel like there's been a reduction in the amount and speed of traffic on Greenfield as a result of the barriers. So I think they are having some effect. I don't know if that's the best solution. My understanding, I think this is correct. These are just temporary measure. While we study the effectiveness of goals, and they may be permanent in the future. There may be other things that would be done instead. So I think the village-wide study really needs to take into account what's been done so far and get some real data as to the effectiveness of what these control measures have been. So my observations are less traffic, not speeding as much as they were. My wife couldn't be here, but we had recommended before an additional stop sign at Greenfield and Clinton. Still think that's needed. While at Greenfield west of Lathrop, there's a stop sign every block. We'd like to see a stop sign on Greenfield east of Lathrop on every block. That would help a lot. There was one other thing that I just wanted to make sure it stays in the record. The commission was going to discuss with Fenwick the parking on Greenfield during sporting events, and I haven't heard if that's been done yet, but the athletic season about to take off. There's been times with sporting events on Greenfield where we can't even get out of our driveway because there's cars parked on both sides, Harlan to William. And it's a very unsafe situation. So I think that's it. I think we are all in agreement that our biggest concern is safety. I think barriers are having some effect. If that's some other measures that might be considered, that would be fine. But I do think that something needs to be done. We do want to get the cut-through traffic encouraged, at least from coming through our village.
Good evening. My name is Bob Conrardi. I've been in River Forest for about 30 years. I'm on the 1400 block of Monroe. I'm against the barriers, all the barriers. I too agree that traffic is important. Talk about is a fiscal project. If you look at all the stop signs with reflectors on, those are my two boys, Eagle Scout Projects in the village. They started focusing on where schools were, where a lot of playgrounds were. I think that you have to look at it. I do agree you probably do see a lower traffic on Greenfield, but a lot of that is because it's being pushed to other areas. As Marika said, Division is getting a lot more traffic, and there's schools, Priory Park, other areas where you're going to see a lot more people, bigger liability to the village. I'm on Monroe Avenue. I'm seeing an increase. And again, I don't have all the numbers, but from observations, it seems like more people are cutting down Monroe to get to the other side, either to Division so they can turn up Harlem or some other street, whether it's Green Point. I guess I have one question is, I know there's a lot of people that might be cutting through the village because North Avenue going eastbound, corner kind of gets very congested. I know that that corner is not part of our jurisdiction, nor are we. That far right lane in front of Shell, is that, it's not a right turn only lane. I don't see it marked there. I see the left lane marked as left turn only to go north on Harlem.
And by the Shell, whether that.
There's actually four lanes. It actually opens up to four lanes. There's a left turn only, two straight through, and then there's a lane there that does not say right turn only. And I see a lot of people pull up there.
You're saying they pull up.
Is there a way to petition the state to put that as a right turn only lane? And maybe that will have some impact on people not having to wait behind that car that isn't turning right when pedestrians are not there or not. If it's right turn only?
Yeah. I hear your point.
Yeah. That's it. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Is it Keith Lertzbury?
I really can only speak to one barrier because everything else isn't in front of my house, and I don't feel like I have a right to comment on those. I'll let everybody else who lives in front of those make the comments.
You're
but
you're
I live
1526.
In 1526. Right, yeah, so 1500 Blackman Place, so I'm ground zero for the pass-through traffic. And, yeah, I mean, I've seen a pretty big reduction. Yes, you do have people jumping the barrier, et cetera, and that happens. But in overall, like, plowing my driveway, shoveling my driveway, don't have to dodge as many cars for sure as I've had the last 5 years. So I've seen a major reduction in that. The classic cut through is Clinton to Lemoyne. Once you get to Bonnie Brae, there's really no point to cut through anymore. You're about another 20 yards away from the intersection. But when you get to Clinton, that's when you can make some hay. You watch a lot of cars take that right turn and immediately take that left turn on the Lemoyne. So I've seen that cut down a fair amount. Not completely, but a fair amount. One thing I will say, however, though, is that if a decision is made for everybody that barriers are to come down, I strongly, strongly suggest that you put that stop sign back at Lemoyne and Clinton Place. When you're going south on that, you have this like evergreen bush to the left, and then you have cars parked in front of the west side there, and you can't see anything coming through. Make it a four-way.
On the four-way.
Yeah. That's because even now, so if you actually were to remove the barriers at Clinton Place now, I guarantee a lot of your drive-through traffic, they don't respect those 1500 block southbound stop signs. They blow right through those things. They kind of do the look and go. You're going to have a lot of accidents at that intersection. So I'm in favor of keeping the Clinton Place barrier, but if it turns out that the majority rules or whatever you guys decide that it has to come down, you need to get that stop, the four-way stop back in that place there.
Have you observed, say that particular
King of... That's correct, yes.
Have you...
You know, when I was looking at some of the old consultant work, they were talking about because there's such limited space for parking, I feel the business is paying 100%. So we need to think of a solution for that as well. But when you look at the different designs of trying to increase the safety of that northeast corridor, a lot of the cul-de-sacs, things like that, and then cul-de-sacking off the street, keeping the remaining street up until North Avenue, turning that into a more of a parking lot type situation. I've seen some of those looks. And when I first moved in, I said, this would be great because there's a lot of cars coming through the street that, yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen a lot of traffic come. And honestly, if you ask me, I wouldn't mind having a complete barrier there so I don't have cut through, but, you know, that's not my call.
Andre?
So Andre Ivy and Nita Swami, my wife, we're 1445 Clinton. I have a yellow sticker. That means I'm four, apparently. We've been here 7 years. I can't speak to those who've been here for 30 years or the businesses. We live here. We don't work here. I do drive to work every single day. I've had no issues with the barriers. I'm for the barriers right now. Actually, barriers and more, if possible. We have to look back as to why this happened in the first place. This didn't just come out of the blue. There was an issue with safety, with children, with speeding, with cut-through that started this many years ago. I've been involved. I've been abreast to this. I've heard the things from the commission. I've gotten the emails. I've been at these meetings. The last one, I think, was a year ago. The issue was that people pass through our neighborhood and they don't care about our neighborhood. They don't follow the signage. They turn left. I see it because I'm at ground zero, as they say. I see police pulling people over every single day in front of our house. We've had 5 arrests in front of our house. My children stare out the bay windows. They say, Daddy, what's happening here? They're being arrested because they don't live in River Forest. They're passing through and they just happen to have. Barriers have helped that. They've not helped completely. People still pass through. People still now turn left against the barriers. And the police, when they're asked to come, they do pull people over. I don't know what the answer is. My preferential answer is close it down. Don't give people the option. I think we have to look at, is it convenient or safe? I prefer safe. I don't have a problem driving an extra 5 minutes to get to the grocery store. I don't have a problem walking to Grandma Sally's or Yolk. It's not an issue for us. For me, it's about the safety of my children.
Hi, I'm Bob Aramellis. Italian night, buonasera, come sai?
Stanco.
Vado in Italia, a Napoli domani. First thing I'd like to do is thank the commissioners. I'd like to thank the board. I'd like to thank the staff. I'd like to thank concerned residents. We've worked on this for 2 years. Andre said there's a reason for that. Cut through is a village-wide problem, and especially so in the northeast. Solutions involve analysis, change, traffic restriction, inconvenience, community spirit. It takes community spirit to implement. These are reforms that every other municipality in Cook County and DuPage County have implemented. Every one of them. Harlem and North Avenue intersection is one of the busiest in the state. Our neighbors, all our neighbors, have instituted much stronger measures. I ask you to stand firm on our progress. Whether the affected are a minority or majority, there are 4 basic principles of protection that all River Forest residents should expect from our village on residential streets. 1, that our streets provide safe passage for children, pedestrians, bicycles, and cars. 2, that our streets are not used as alternate routes for state highways. 3, that our streets are not truck routes. 4, that residential streets are not commercial service roads. Removal or lessening the current mitigation will be a capitulation on all 4 principles. I think I agree with Andre. I think those 2 intersections should be shut off. But we compromise. We do. We work and we compromise and we analyze. I know tonight there's people here who feel inconvenienced by the changes. Around 2 years worth of work. Perhaps their experience is less impacted by cut through than others. But I'm not seeing solutions offered tonight. We all worked on solutions for 2 years. Going back to the traffic free-for-all rather than drive a tenth of a mile out of the way difference, I don't want to go back there. Perhaps people aren't aware that the 20 home blocks of the 1500, the 20 home 1500 blocks between Bonnie Bray and Monroe endure 175,000 to 435,000 annual car passages. Those houses have 20 homes. Maybe folks aren't aware that the residents of Greenfield and Lemoyne endure 1 million plus annual combined car and truck passages. I don't know if people are aware, but it's now easier to cross Harlem, Greenfield, and Lemoyne on foot on your bicycle. It's a lot easier. I ask for some understanding and sympathy well-being of people's neighbors. This issue is well beyond the perceived right to drive three-ton vehicles. During our last two meetings, we sympathized and accommodated with business parking needs. We rejected the KOL plan that would have cut all North Avenue access to Clinton and Williams and taken away North Avenue business parking at peak hours. Look at that report. That's what it suggested. Took into account and tried to mitigate unregulated business service truck cut-throughs of 80,000-pound tractor trailer rigs and hazardous material haulers like antifreeze, gasoline tankers. So those of you that want to get to Cassidy, I really don't want their antifreeze truck. Came to conclusions together because we analyzed, we talked, we compromised, and we all rejected the KLOA plan as unworkable, holistic, enforcement dependent, and contrary to what all other municipalities have done. Commissioners, we worked as a community for 2 years to find cut-through solutions in the northeast corners. Those participants know solutions are complicated and involve compromise. I think you all know, and I just said it, that there's quite a few of us and sign up to speak, unfortunately, but we'd like, again, like that, we think the solution is to shut off Lemoyne and shut off Greenfield. But let's continue to work together, not tear down our hard work, and move forward with more mitigation. Do we really want to be known as the cut-through truck route town? Do we really want to be that? I don't think we're Calumet City, but I got a gas truck with 45,000 pounds of gasoline in front of my house daily. I think that's an issue. Have a nice evening. Thank you.
I understand. Do we still have someone on Zoom who wants to address the commission?
Oh, yeah. Hello. This is Petra Novak. We are exactly on North Avenue and William on the corner, and our traffic is like tripled. You know, we have a school in the morning, we have a business, and it's very congested. And I just want to take a notice, then we want to remove the barriers.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and I just want to say I live on South River Forest. And since like we have the stop signs, the new one, it is much better. So maybe the stop sign would be solution. That's just my like my view of the problem. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you have Abby, yeah. Schmeling.
Yes, thank you. I live at 1530 Bonnie Bray. We have lived in River Forest for almost 50 years. We used to live in Keystone and Chicago, and we love it up here. But I just want to, I agree with all of those who want to take the barriers down, so I don't need to repeat all of that. But I just want to say that I really feel like I'm on an island up here now. I don't have the access that I had, the free access, And I understand the concerns about Greenfield, but I would really like to see if you really have to have barriers, that at least one, either Lemoyne or Greenfield, you know, be able to go west. Because now if you're east of Harlem, I mean, if you're east of or north or south of on Harlem, the only way to get to 1530 Bonnie Brae is to go down to Division, over to William, up to Lemoyne or Greenfield, turn right and go back to Bonnie Brae, and then turn left and go up two blocks to our apartment. And I just find that is inconvenient, and inconvenience is okay sometimes. And I of course am concerned about the children, but I think there are other ways of doing this with stop signs, speed bumps, whatever, without actually having to isolate the people on the east end of the northeast end of River Forest. Thank you.
Thank you. Are others who've signed up to speak? We'll go ahead and we're trying to wrap this up. We were trying to wrap it up by 9, but you know, go ahead. If you wouldn't mind keeping it brief. Give us your name and address.
Rene Hermes, 1446 Bonnie Brae. I'm a supporter of the closings. I think there's a little bit of confusion because it seems like a construction area. And I think once those are cemented, just like Elmwood Park and Oak Park, there will no longer be any confusion. We also have a clinic on North Avenue next to J.C. Litt and Ponzio. And we have no problem. Our patients always find parking. We have 3 providers in a 2,000 square feet clinic, and we've never had any issue. Actually, clients and patients should not be utilizing Residence Street, and they should not be parking in front of our house. Rest said, the issue was not to slow down the traffic, but it was more of the cut through. And I think the barriers did a fantastic job with that. Last thing, the CLOA report. I know a lot of people mentioned it. If you want to go back to the tapes, the gentleman that was there and talking said, yes, we can do all the incremental changes, but if we do the barriers, of course, that would be the cul-de-sac. That would be the best solution. And everyone agreed upon that. And he said that verbally, and you can look at the reports, they wanted more stop signs. I do not want a flashing stop sign in front of my house, lighting up my entire house. I don't want a speed bump that's going to cause problems to my car every day. I would like that the busiest intersection, the northeast corner, to be completely cut off. All of the paramedics come from the west. Anyways, we have our own police, our own paramedics and fire department. They never come from the Chicago side. That's it.
Hi, Greg Abkarian. I've been a resident for more than 48 years.
Give us your name. And
Greg Abkarian. And my I have 2 addresses, 1226 William and 1430 Lathrop. I've been affected by the barrier. I'm against the barriers completely. I would like maybe speed bumps or whatever for the traffic. I'm all about the safety and people going through. It's been brought up that Division now, it being one way, one lane each way, has become much more used. And down William now, they like to cut down William really angry and speed, I'd say about 75 miles an hour. I've actually timed them on a radar gun a few times. And there's no, when you guys did all this, that's great. I don't know what Kathy was thinking because it's on her block, but why they didn't put a stop sign at it's Berkshire and William. because now from Division all the way to Greenfield, it's a race. I mean, I can get my race car out and we can race all day long, and there's no stopping people, and it's ridiculous. And I've been a resident here for so long. I remember when the old president cut off all the streets from North Avenue and what it did to the Lathrop traffic, and it made Lathrop not fun to drive down or live on. Well, this is also, as my parents would like me to tell you guys, has also increased the traffic on Lathrop, because people have to figure a way to get to their place. So they either take Division now because they can't go down to Lemoyne, or when they come all the way down to Lathrop to the stop sign, because God forbid you try to make a left-hand turn on William from North Avenue or from Monroe because of all the people that are going to Johnny's or Benny's or all those places. So you go all the way to Lathrop and then you speed down Lathrop. And nobody uses those. I mean, I don't know how long you guys have lived here, but nobody's ever followed those stop signs on Lathrop for 40 years. They're not going to start using them now. I promise you this. And they don't. So those are my concerns. And I just wanted to bring those up. Everything else doesn't need to be rehashed. But if for some ungodly reason you keep these barriers up, please, please, please put a stop sign on William and Berkshire, because it's crazy. And then also somebody brought up about the Fenwick parking. They're going to park right in front of my house. So hopefully you guys have talked to them and you're thinking about William, not just Greenfield. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Good night. Okay. You know, as I mentioned, we're facing whether to adjust what I'll call the current status quo, you know, pending further study, you know, by the village. And at least, and I'll turn this over to other members of the commission to speak, you know, at least as I see it, I think that maybe we ought to discuss this in pieces. Perhaps the easiest is to address the current restrictions on Greenfield and Lemoyne, or discussing the barriers along the North Avenue corridor.
Can I, Doug, I just want to throw in one more piece of context, because we do have the survey open as part of the village-wide traffic study, and we did throw in a couple questions relative to these northeast improvements just to gauge some feedback that way as well. First question that we asked was, do you feel that the recent changes in the northeast corner of the village have had a positive impact on traffic patterns in the area? We had 799 people answer that question. 56% said unsure, 27% said no, and 16% said yes. So there is a majority on this survey that said no, it's not had a positive impact. Second question we asked was, do you feel that additional changes in the northeast corner of the village are needed to address remaining issues? Again, close to 60% said unsure, 19% said no, and 22% said yes. So again, a majority saying that additional measures are needed up there.
And I'll comment, you know, the unsureness is probably, you know, I empathize, because you heard tonight, you know, when we were here before, we had a study from KLOA. You've heard a lot of people here tonight say, why didn't we study, you know, follow the KLOA study? And you heard other people say just as passionately and, you know, with some credibility, you know, that they thought the KLOA study was inadequate. And, you know, so we face, you know, we have that study. We try to assess it as best we can. We're not experts. And we try to be responsive to what people say. And as you can see here, there's, you know, divided opinion here. I think, you know, everybody agrees that we want a safe village. You know, I think people are generally in favor, although maybe all of our behavior doesn't necessarily follow it, we're generally in favor of, you know, slower traffic, safer traffic. We'd like to believe that people would stop at stop signs and obey signs, even though in our own experience we know that people maybe more often than not don't. And so, you know, facing those realities and those realities of human nature, what do we do? So
I guess I'd like to thank you, Jeff, for that information. And I guess I'd like to turn it over to the commission and see if there's any interest in first discussing Greenfield and Lemoyne before we discuss the barriers. Or if anybody wants to, you know, make any other comments.
I just want to say just a couple of things like I did at the beginning. I love the fact that everybody came out. I love the diversity of the opinions, the commentary. We've learned a lot as a commission. We had the study in front of us. Like someone said, we've been at this for 2 years. Gillis and I have been sitting here for 10 years kind of, you know, talking about we need to address this issue. And now we're addressing it. And you guys are here giving us all of this information, which is really, really important. So all of your opinions are valid. And we're going to sit here now and we're going to talk about it. Nothing's getting solved tonight. As you know, this is a big issue. We've known it for a long time. Maybe now you're just starting to figure it out, or maybe you've known that it's a big issue and it's going to take some fixing. I'm thinking, wow, there's a lot of work to do here. And I've already been thinking about this for on and off for 10 years. But the thing that started all this, like I said in the beginning, was why didn't you guys notice this or receive notice on this? What was the issue with this? So what I'm thinking about first and foremost, before we get down to the nitty gritty, is how do we make sure we get notice? And one thing I mentioned, and I wanted to just put it on the record here because this thing's listening to me. When Jeff was talking about notice, he mentioned the blocks that it went out, right? The mailers. But I didn't hear North Avenue. I don't know if that was a part of it or not. So what we need to figure out with notice, the board, maybe we're at fault too, who knows? But I didn't hear North Avenue, and I think North Avenue, the businesses, are an important part of this village as well. So the fact, or maybe it isn't a fact, but if North Avenue didn't get notice, then that's a factor of 10% or something that wasn't here or wasn't notified to be here to voice their opinions. I'm glad that everybody else is here. You're from the neighborhood. I've been thumbing through this 250-person thing. There's some people from Oak Park and all over the place that seem to have an opinion. But I think this is really important that as villagers, as neighbors, that now we're all notified. And here we are. I really don't think you guys want to sit here for the nitty-gritty, but you're welcome to. But we have a lot of work to do, and I just wanted to throw it out there. Thank you. I appreciate this because now I can get to work. I feel like everything we've done, not that I'm advocating taking anything down or anything like that, but now with the opinions of both sides, we can get to work, come up with solutions that piss off 50% of us and we'll make 50% of us happy because that's what a negotiation is. And we're not going to make all of you happy, but boy, we got our work out, you know, cut out for us, and here we go. Hopefully we get through this. Not too many. Too much blood.
Okay, let's see. Pat, have you been on Zoom? Do you have any comment generally, you know, before we move on?
Well, we've had 34 people speak tonight, 25 of whom want the barriers removed and 9 who like them. But we've been doing this, as John has just said, for years. And we've come up with what we think was helpful. I think we can't make a decision tonight. We have to wait and see what the study says. We've had COLA. We can't make everybody happy. That's the unfortunate thing. And safety of the children and the village is paramount as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Pat, do you want to make any comment?
I just want to say that it was great to hear from everyone. Thank you, everyone, for coming out and speaking. It's really helpful to hear everyone's personal opinions. Obviously, we made the decision based on what we thought was accurate, but hearing especially the businesses, I had not myself thought through all the implication on the businesses, and I think that was an unintended consequence that we need to figure out. We need to work through. What the answer to that is, I don't know, but we definitely need to consider that. And one thing that we did learn, though, is that it did increase safety. It did reduce the cut-throughs. At what cost? That is the question, and that's what we have to figure out, is what are we willing to give up in order to get the benefits that we need? We have a lot of work to do.
Rick?
Yep.
Name checked.
There, I'm on. So it is good to hear from everyone. And I think it's nice that, you know, we're getting all the viewpoints that we didn't get the first time. And I'm not saying one side was right, one side is wrong, but there's got to be a compromise in the middle there. And you know, I have a bunch of notes here, and I'm like, what do we do next? Do we go back to the way it was? You know, I think there's a whole group of you that like that. I think there's, you know, maybe we just cut out a piece of this. Do we cut out Clinton? Bonnie Bray, you know, who knows what's going on there at, with that dead end there. Do we have, I don't know if we have anyone from Cassidy Tire or Yoke here. Do? No, I don't think Capri. Capri, yeah, that was Capri. But it was family. It's family owned, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and yeah, and the original KLOA report was going to shut their business down for 4 hours a day, correct? Which was a bad part of that report. Yeah. Right. And same with you're at Clinton, and they were going to shut that down for 4 hours a day as well. Right. And this was kind of our thoughts taken into account, which clearly didn't work as well as we thought. but the was to at least, you know, you could go down, you can get to your parking behind there, you can use the alley to get your employees in there, but I know you're not happy with that. Yeah. Wait. Well, let me finish my.
Hey, by the way, just a second.
Yeah.
So I think what I don't want to have happen, or we can't have happen, is the kind of back and forth with the audience, because it doesn't get picked up for other people. So if we're going to have that, I guess we just need to have the audience member come up to the podium.
Yeah, and I was just curious if Cassidy was here in Yoke. But that aside, I think we need to come back. We got to relook at this. I do agree with that. So, you know, I've got a list here of certain pieces, and I think, again, we have to go through one by one and get opinions. We've got a lot of opinions, but you know, do we go through and remove Clinton, yes or no? Do we go and remove Bonnie Bray? You know, I'm a little mixed about that one, only because I know you're heading eastbound on North Avenue, and that light turns yellow. They all shoot down Bonnie Bray. End of story. But that aside, I'm looking at some heads shaking up and down, some no. But this is what we got to look at in the future. So, and then the other thing, too, is, you know, do we wait for this new analysis? Do we revert back to the way it was, have the new analysis go back, and then we'll see what their recommendations are? And hopefully it's a little bit better than the last guys. So that's my thoughts.
I guess I'd like to... I don't know, make a motion, but I'd like to make a proposal. And usually what we do is we discuss, and then sometimes, you know, we will try to conclude. We may pass a motion, and if we do, it's a recommendation to the village board. But I'd like to start by addressing a proposal to modify the, at least to recommend a modification to the restrictions on Greenfield and Lemoyne, just to maintain, and first of all, my understanding is that these barriers, as installed now, are temporary and an eyesore. But I think the goal is to, if we reach some agreement, that they would be replaced by something physically more attractive and, you know, also more expensive, and we'd want to make sure that, you know, the decision's made to do the best thing that least maybe the most people agree would be the best approach. I'd like to suggest that we modify the restrictions at Greenfield and Lemoyne so that we maintain, in effect, a triangle. Some people call it a pork chop, but that that would allow people heading southbound on North Avenue to be able to turn right onto Lemoyne and right onto Greenfield. And if they're southbound on Harlem, I'm sorry, people heading southbound on Harlem to be able to turn right onto Lemoyne and right onto Greenfield. If you're heading eastbound on Lemoyne and eastbound on Greenfield, you would be able to turn right onto Harlem and head south. It would still restrict, be a physical barrier to people turning left from Harlem. If they're northbound on Harlem, it would be a physical barrier that would still make it very difficult to, you know, make it more likely to restrict people from turning left from Harlem onto Greenfield and Lemoyne. I don't think that's the biggest driver of all the opinions tonight, but having heard from some, you know, residents who, and I understand, I'm not going to characterize, I mean, obviously there's some inconvenience for driving around on Division and having to go back, but at least I'm going to suggest that we discuss a modification to those two restrictions on Greenfield and Lemoyne to keep the restriction in place, but to modify it so the people heading southbound in Harlem would be able to turn into the neighborhood.
The question, are you recommending a physical barrier modification or a signage?
I'm suggesting that, first of all, the current barrier be modified, because right now the barrier doesn't allow people to turn right if they're heading south on Harlem. So I'm suggesting that we modify the physical barrier, and, you know, I support signage too.
Is that possible to have a temporary barrier in the center of the intersection?
Yeah, I think we could set those barriers up to accommodate that. Obviously, this would still have to go back to the board, and the ordinance that was originally approved would have to be modified based on those changes. But I think those are.
Jeff, can you confirm, when you say an ordinance was approved, does that mean, are we wrong on the commission and that if we sort of thought, or if some of us thought, that these are temporary, that the board actually passed an ordinance making them permanent?
So it's a bit of a semantic argument. The changes that were implemented and the actions that were taken included ordinance changes. So even to put those temporary barriers out there, we had to approve the ordinance.
Okay.
The idea was that the barriers would allow us to implement them immediately because they were much cheaper, but we didn't budget for the full-fledged construction costs. Those are earmarked for next year's budget, next year being after May 1. But the conversation also included, as was mentioned earlier tonight, one of the trustees at the board level, under the impression that we were implementing these measures and adopting the ordinances. However, we knew this village-wide traffic study was coming, and so let's also lean on that a little bit to see what, if any, adverse impacts these changes in the meantime to further inform any additional decisions or modifications. It's a little bit of both.
Well, let me digress a little bit. I guess I would like to recommend that we, as a commission, if we have consensus on this, that we advise the village board that, at least in our view, these recommendations are temporary, pending completion of the village-wide study.
One thing I want to bring up, and I think I brought this up 6 months or a year ago. Well, it must have been 6 months ago. Greenfield and Fenwick, because we put that right turn only and we closed off part of Greenfield with the idea that we were going to see how it was going to work. In my mind, this was all temporary, because when Fenwick starts bussing in kids, are they going to fit through, you know, Greenfield going and then having a turn on Harlem? There's just a lot more to study with spring sports happening in those sports fields that Fenwick now owns, another 7 acres over there. What is going to happen with traffic and that project? I like that we're sticking to, is this Greenfield and Lemoyne, or is this just Greenfield that we're talking about right now?
Well, I was take it one at a time, but I was suggesting that we make the same change on Greenfield and Lemoyne. Allow at least to maintain a physical barrier, but to modify the barrier so that people eastbound on Lemoyne and Greenfield could only turn right onto Harlem, and people southbound on Harlem could turn right to access River Forest on using Greenfield or Lemoyne, but people northbound on Harlem would be prevented, you know, by a combination of signage and physical barrier from turning left if they're heading northbound on Harlem on Greenfield. Right.
I just don't want to make a rash decision on anything because there's a lot of data that hit. There's, like I said, upcoming sports seasons. There's, you know, I brought up North Avenue, the business owners. We're just starting to hear from them, but I also like the feedback from Bonnie Bray and Clinton about the cut-through traffic that has been eliminated. And then I go to our original objectively, whoever's brought that up, and what we're trying to accomplish. So I'm willing to talk about Greenfield and Lemoyne. I want to hear what you guys have to say because.
Oh, I it's prudent. I think it's a pretty good idea. If you think about people that are living in that quadrant, you're driving south, now you can get back in. We've heard a lot about going all the way down to Division and around. And the main idea there was the left people turning left on Lemoyne and Greenfield when they saw, well, primarily Lemoyne, but when they saw that light turn yellow, they immediately turned left, even though there was a no left turn during rush hours. That sign was there forever on both streets. I like the idea of being able to, you know, at least allow residents to get back in, allow residents to get back out. We're just stopping that cut through traffic that's trying to turn left before the light turns green or.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Yeah, please, Pat.
How long, this is a question for Jeff, how long have these barriers been actually up? Not that long, am I right, Jeff?
We sent the postcards out December 1st for Lemoyne Greenfield and November 16th for Clinton Bonnie. So late, you know, mid-November to mid-December is when they went up.
So it's been give or take 3 months that the barriers have been up. I don't think that's enough time for us to see what's happening. I think we just, let's try it and see what happens. In 3 months, I don't think is enough time. Thank you.
I'm suggesting, you know, as a general matter, I'm not focusing right now, at least, on the barriers at North Avenue.
But ones on North Avenue turning right into Clinton and Bonnie Brick, correct? We're just worried about how.
No, I'm talking about the restrictions at Harlem and Harlem and Lemoyne and Harlem and Greenfield. And I'm suggesting what I consider a modest adjustment to maintain the barrier, but to alleviate a piece of it to allow people that are southbound on Harlem to turn into the neighborhood.
I see. But now if you have,
I don't see that as being inconsistent with the goal, which was to try to prevent cut through traffic from North Avenue going through the village. But it would allow people who live in the neighborhood better access to their.
But only nobody northbound.
Probably. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pat.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's I just don't want to undo what we've done with only 3 months. But that's just a minor modification. Northbound traffic on Harlem would still not be able to turn left. There'd be some type of a barrier away to facilitate. Right. So
that's correct. Yes. What I'm suggesting is that we modify the existing barrier to open up at least a part of it to allow southbound traffic on Harlan to turn right into the neighborhood, and that we recommend to the village board that this would also be a temporary change, be a temporary modification to the existing restriction pending, you know, the final village-wide study.
Sounds good, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Going south on Harlem, and you're from the neighborhood, you're going to know if Lemoyne or Greenfield are open, that you can turn right in. Maybe just as a point, throwing this out there, maybe you just open one of them. Residents are going to know if you can get in on Lemoyne or on Greenfield instead of opening up both of them. We've done work. Some of you guys aren't happy. Some of you are, but we have so much more to talk about. My biggest issue right now are the alleys. What
John, can we at least, I'm going to make a motion.
All right.
And then we can either vote yes or no on the motion, or it can fail for lack of a second. Because I agree, we can come back to the alleys and we can come back to the barricades on North Avenue. But I'm like at least trying to see if there's any appetite to adjust the barriers at Harlem and Lemoyne and Greenfield. If there's not, you know, that's fine with me, but I just wanted to find out if there's appetite to do
that. I am in favor of doing that. I agree letting some of the residents back in. We've heard that a lot today. That's a very modest modification, and it also achieves our objective of why we put everything up in the first place.
All right. So I'm going to make a motion to modify the barriers at Greenfield in Harlem and Lemoyne at Harlem to allow to open the barrier to allow southbound traffic on Harlan to turn right onto Lemoyne and right onto Greenfield. I don't know what the current signage is, but I would include in that that on eastbound Greenfield and on eastbound Lemoyne, that signage be either, you know, right turn only or no left turn, you know, whatever the appropriate signage is.
Obvious elimination of the one-way street.
What's that?
The elimination of the one-way street.
And the elimination of the one-way. It's a little bit of a diffuse motion, but if that's clear enough on the record, I guess I'd ask for a second. Is that clear enough?
And you can add.
Can we just try one street instead of both, or do you want to just do both right off the bat?
I'm suggesting both because, you know, rather than push all the traffic, well, I don't know all, but that way people heading south would, you know, who live in the neighborhood, if they live on Greenfield, they could turn right onto Greenfield. If they live on Lemoyne or in that area north of Lemoyne, they would be able to turn on Lemoyne. And it would share the traffic rather than direct, you know, limit the traffic either, you know, to one or the other. All right, any further discussion on that before we vote? All right, let's vote on that motion.
Did we have a second?
Yes, I think Rick seconded it. I vote yes.
Chairman Chase? Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Mr. Osgood?
No.
Okay, that motion passes. Okay, now, is there, so again, pending the completion of the traffic study, do we have any energy or appetite to adjust, remove or change either of the barriers on either Clinton or Bonnie Bray? I guess I'd maybe try to go ahead and address the big issue of those barriers. And I think leaving aside, at least for now, other maybe speed calming, you know, measures or other things that might be done, but just focusing on the question of the barriers. it seems to me the choice is, look, we altered the status quo by installing these barriers. Do we revert back? You know, and I think Rick and others, John, you know, the question is, pending the rest of the study, do we go back to the way it was? Do we maintain the barriers the way they are, you know, pending the completion of the study, or do we make some alteration? I mean, I think those are the choices. And I guess, you know, having heard the comments tonight, do you all, the members of the commission, have any comment or, you know, interest in making a modification to those barriers?
I'm going to stick with the way I feel right now, in that there's a lot of data in front of us. We have a report coming in. I'm really not inclined. It's not because I'm admitting defeat or anything like this. It has to do with making a rash decision. You know, I'm sitting here. I've listened for 3 hours. Sorry, I went to law school. I apologize. We've made these changes. We've heard positives and negatives. We knew this meeting was going to be mostly the people that were against. I get it. But we have two different opinions and arguments to listen to here, and we've done some work. And I've heard opinions that I don't know why they weren't here tonight. I've heard people talking about shutting down William. So there's a lot to think about. I want to see this study. I will not vote to change anything this evening, but I'll meet in a month if you want to. But I'm just not.
Pat, were you going to say something?
Yes, I totally agree with John. I also will not, that one modification, fine. I don't want anything else modified until we see the study. We put a lot of work into this, a lot of thought, a lot of time, and a lot of effort. I think we have to give it a chance.
That's what I just wanted to clarify. As part of the village-wide study, there's been a significant amount of data collection already on some of the major routes in town. The remainder of the data collection effort has been held off pending the results of the survey. That's going to help dictate where we go look. Part of the discussion when we started that village-wide study was, let's reserve a couple of those locations to see, you know, for the Lathrops, the Williams, the divisions, to see what potentially negative impacts the Northeast changes have caused, but it was more on an ancillary basis. We've already done a study in the Northeast corner. So when we went out to RFP for the village-wide study, we largely left out the Northeast corner because it was just studied. Only exception to that is taking a look at, again, some of the potentially adverse impacts that the Northeast corner improvements caused or may have caused. So we're not doing another full-fledged study of the Northeast corner because we just did one.
Jeff, do you know if the scope of work of the new study encompasses having these current engineers, if you will, check the work of KLOA or, you know, determine whether you think those their conclusions are sound, or is that not really part of their scope of work?
That was not part of their scope of work.
Okay. So we have the study of KOLA. I know that there were some who criticized it, but we have that study for what it's worth. And as I'm hearing it, we're not spending the money to redo that study. We're having the folks address other they're really focusing on other issues in the village.
I suggest the data point to collect to help you make decisions. Could you ask the Willard School how many kids are walking to school every day, since these mitigation measures have come up? Because I think measuring cars is one way, but I think another data is how many parents are willing to let their kids walk to school. And that's something to consider, as, for example, myself this morning and past week, we were much more comfortable.
Thank you. Okay. So Rick or Kim, I mean, is there any interest in adjusting those barriers now?
All right. It's your neighborhood. I'm just hearing overwhelming Clinton removal. I don't think,
you know, I heard from one gentleman who said keep Clinton in place, but put on stop signs. Is there anyone else that thinks Clinton should remain open or remain closed? Want to close? I'm just taking a little hint. You know, who wants Clinton to remain closed? Just raise your hand.
You know, to help with the concerns, some of the recommendations, you can ease some of these things in, and why not take off the barriers and put some speed bumps in to try to negate of this traffic that, you know, yeah. Some people, you know, that's a concern for the people here.
That's a great point, and that's coming through in the study. And what we recommend or don't recommend tonight goes to the board anyway. And I've never said this in 17 years that I would consider a speed bump, and now all of a sudden I'm starting to consider speed bumps.
It
happens in Chicago. I drive through Chicago every day, but my point remains the same. Tonight, removing the barricades while we're doing a study, while we're getting input from residents up there, I think is premature. That's my only point. But yes, we can solve it, but we're not going to solve it tonight. There's nothing we're going to solve tonight. We're a commission that recommends to the board. These people want your vote upstairs. I think they're going to make a decision in a night.
So, yeah. so John, what I hear is you and I think Pat, let's say we just focused on one barrier, the Clinton barrier. You and Pat at least are not interested in entertaining removal of that barrier tonight. You're not saying that you wouldn't consider that in the future, but your view is that we need to get the study. We've heard the opinions tonight. Those opinions should be expressed and shared. This obviously everyone should respond to the survey, and you know all that will go into the mix for a future decision as to whether the barriers would be removed. I'm sorry, Pat, that's your view, right?
Yes, sir. You are correct.
Okay. I'm sorry, what's your name again?
It's Kate. Kate Byrne, 1411 okay. Clinton Place.
You had a longer name than Kate. Catherine. On your list, okay.
Yeah, I apologize. I just sitting here listening, and I'm an attorney as well. And from my, and I've been to the last village board meetings and everything. What I heard tonight, and correct me if I'm wrong, a majority of the people here that spoke were against the barricades. And that the biggest issue, I read the COLA report myself. The COLA report said we shouldn't have the barricades. So, you know, I know you're talking about another study that's not even going to address the quadrant that's already done. They've made recommendations. We're not following it. And I think that's the biggest issue. And I know that there's been this issue of notice, which, you know, I don't want to argue about it. I mean, we weren't invited to the party. We didn't know that it was going to go on. It sounds like the 1500 block of Clinton Place and Bonnie Bray were put on notice, but not the 1400
Kate,
block.
Could maybe one suggestion. I mean, I'm just telling you all that I can see the writing on the wall, that I think it's highly unlikely that tonight this commission is going to recommend removing the barriers. On the other hand, I don't think it's out of the question that the barriers would be removed. And I would propose that we sort of come up with a statement, you know, of sort of principles or whether it's a motion. But I would like to make sure that we deliver a clear message to the board, the village board, that number one, that we think that these changes and recommendations are temporary pending the completion of the other study, of the new study and the survey. Number two, you know, I do think we need to note that there already is a KLOA study and acknowledge to the extent that the current restrictions depart from that study, we should at least acknowledge that there is a study that has other conclusions. And if to the extent that the current barriers depart from that, I think we should note that we acknowledge that and be open to reconsideration based on the fact that A, we did depart from that study, and B, that we didn't have full participation, or at least as full of participation when we made of the neighborhood when we made those recommendations, and that we should express, my view is we should express as a commission that we are open and we think the village should be open to reconsideration of the barriers pending based on the comments that came in tonight, B, based on the KLOA study, and C, based on the fact that we still are waiting for survey results, and D, that we're still waiting for the village-wide study. And that with that information in, that at a future meeting, but probably after at least the survey and the village-wide study have come in, I think then we ought to revisit whether we would recommend altering or removing the barriers at that time. But I'm just telling you, I don't think that those are going to get removed tonight. So, my view would be if we could come up, maybe reach some kind of agreement, at least on some of those statements of principles, if we agree with them, I think we ought to try to see if we can come up with some kind of coherent message that we could deliver to the Board of Trustees on those issues.
I agree with word for word what you said. I was trying, I'm conflicted. But I realize that my conflict is that we have to resolve it and we can't resolve it overnight. Listening to what everyone's saying, there's a lot of new information here and we can't just decide because a certain number of people showed. Maybe other people have other opinions that didn't show and we really need to hear that. And I want to myself go back and reread very carefully those sections of the study that we talked about 6 months ago. I want to go back and just really dive into it before I'm able to make a decision. Oh, I agree with everything you said.
You worded it perfectly. It's going upstairs. We need some time. We'll make quality decisions after we review what we need to review. Again, I love the fact that you guys showed up in droves, both sides. And now I'm going to think about this and not tonight.
Okay, guys.
The only question I have, when is the report going to be done, Jeff?
So, again, until we close the survey, we can't finish the data collection phase. I don't want to close the survey yet because results are continuing to come in. We're up to 150 some responses or something in that neighborhood. I mean, just to put that in context, the safe routes to school and the commuter parking study, those were 250, 300 responses. I think we've had 40 or 50 more responses on the survey come in just this week. So we don't want to close that yet because there's still data being input. But when that starts to taper, we'll close that survey and then begin the remainder of the data collection. Until we do that, we obviously can't close that study.
So end of summer, middle of summer, I'm just trying to ballpark.
I mean, if we're still getting 50 survey results a week, I don't know when we close the survey, to be honest with you. I mean, that's something we'd have to discuss as a staff. If we close the survey today, data collection maybe for another 2 or 3 months and then a few weeks of report. So I would imagine summer at the earliest at this point.
Okay.
All right. So look, I think we all agree that you guys can see kind of the challenge. I think there's strong opinions on both sides. I think there are disputes about the quality of the data. I would say that nothing is a foregone conclusion. I think, we have a consensus that, nobody really likes cut through traffic, but we live in a village. No matter if you live south, north, wherever you live in the village, we have cut through traffic. We have people who blow through stop signs every day. Installed new ones down by, South River Forest where Kim and I live, and people just blow through them. So, we all have a goal to try to deal with these issues. So, I don't want to repeat what I said unless, you guys didn't catch it but I think what
I guess I will repeat. I mean, I think we ought to let the village know that we think that we would like to reiterate that we think that these changes are temporary, that the current condition is temporary, and it's pending results of the upcoming study and the survey. That we also confirm that we're aware the KLOA study, and we're aware that some of the current restrictions we think to some extent conflict with the recommendations in the KLOA study, and we just want to at least note that. We want to note that we had much more neighborhood participation tonight with, you know, strong views expressed on both sides, in, you know, views in favor of keeping the barriers and thinking that they have perceived a reduction in cut through traffic and a reduction in, and, you know, probably a safer environment, but other people, you know, equally or maybe just on the numbers. And I agree that the numbers are a little bit, you know, amorphous, but, you know, I would call this, you know, rest of our country, you know, we're, you know, a divided view, you know, that, and I don't know that we could count it with numbers. I mean, tonight there were more people expressing to get rid of the barriers, but, you know, but equally concerned about the impact that the barriers have, other knock-on effects on other streets, unintended consequences, perhaps, and danger in the alleys in particular, potential adverse effects on the business. And so we want to acknowledge, you know, those points that were made tonight. And, you know, with an open mind that when we get this additional information with the survey results, and the further study, and then maybe going back, as Kim said, and re-reviewing the KLOA study, that we come back with an open mind to address either A, whether the barriers should be removed, B, whether they should be changed, and if they are removed, should they be replaced with other calming devices that could include any number of things, including, you know, signage, speed humps, other ways to restrict flow. You know, there are a number of other devices that could be considered. And hopefully, you know, this study will help address, you know, which of those kinds of calming devices are helpful, because, you know, we're dealing with, you know, similar issues in other parts of the village. Anything else that I missed that you guys want to make sure we sort of deliver, what message we want to deliver to the board?
I just wanted to add, if this study ends up taking a very long time, that we as a commission should be willing to discuss this in ourselves, and if there's anything that we would want to do.
In the meantime. Yeah, so I think that we'll add that too, that if we recognize that the data collection, the survey, the study could take a while. We generally meet every other month, and so if you know, if it looks like that this is lingering, and we think in the meantime we ought to change the current status and make some additional change. Now, again, what we could do is we could make a recommendation to the village board, and then they'll decide whether they follow it or not. But I guess I agree with, I think we all agree that we're willing to address this at another meeting. I don't want to give false hope, though. I don't want to be saying, yeah, we're going to change this in another meeting if we don't have any more data. But at the same time, I think if it's lingering, we should be willing to make some adjustments if we think that what's currently happening is somehow, you know, harmful or, you know, creating a problem.
I think Kim made a great point earlier. You know, we made some changes. And were they to our detriment or to our benefit? Okay. So we made some changes, and now we have a lot of alleyway use. Okay. We made some changes. Now all of a sudden I'm hearing from people on Park Avenue, Lathrop, you know, west of Lathrop. Okay. Made some changes, and somebody said there's more traffic on Division. Okay. Division is a throughway street through River Forest all the way through. That's where traffic is supposed to be. So benefit or detriment, right? So we need to think about this and make changes that benefit more of us than not. So thank you for your point. And you stated everything that we need to do. I think the board understands what we need to do and what kind of a task it is. So the last thing I'm going to say is, you see what we're going through. It's a lot of work. You guys can be patient with us. By all means, go to the trustee meeting next week or next month, and you can bang on their doors too, because I'm sure they want to hear from you as well. And they're the ones that make decisions at the end.
We do.
Right. And then they sent you to us, and now we're trying to do this in a thoughtful way and make more positive changes or change previous recommendations. But it's going to take some time. And I think we've made a lot of progress tonight. So thanks for coming in.
And, you know, I think Lisa kind of must mention, I mean, generally we did try to not just be reactive at these meetings, and we did install a guideline. I don't know if it's a hard and fast requirement, but a pretty hard requirement that when we make changes, we'd like it to be supported, you know, by a petition, so that we can gauge that there's, you know, more widespread support. And I say that in the context that tonight there were also a few requests for some stop signs. You know, we've tried to look at the village and be consistent with stop sign usage and be kind of thoughtful about where the stop signs are, so that there are some coherence to the stop signs and where they're placed. And so I think I'd suggest that tonight we table the question of stop signs. I don't know that stop signs would be off the table, you know, at a future meeting. I don't know that we would have to wait. I don't think we would have to wait for the whole study to consider maybe some other stop sign issues. So, you know, at a future meeting, I'd say be open to considering some of those other, you know, I guess more modest changes in the meantime, while we're still considering this bigger issue with respect to the restrictions on access to the village.
Greenfield and Lemoyne resonated with me. From Harlem all the way to William, I think, or on Greenfield. Maybe another stop sign there, but yeah, for sure we could put that on a future.
And I'm sorry, I don't want to prolong this, but I don't recall the request. I know this discussion that came up tonight about communicating with Fenwick. What's the ask that we wanted to? What was it that we wanted to communicate or ask?
It had to do with bus parking on Greenfield when they have sporting events, and so a letter was sent to them. Let them know that we were asking them to be more cognizant of that, park the buses in their lot, not park them on Greenfield, things of that nature. Did not get a response, but also haven't really seen a sports season through that baseball field.
Okay, so maybe when the season kicks off, we could follow up if we need to, if they're not, you know, listening. Okay. Gary, right? And do you think there's room in their parking lot for those people to park?
Dominican. I own Dominican. There's parking there.
Okay. Yeah, well, okay. So this is, I assume that this is going to be something where we're going to have to try to have some other discussions with Fenwick. And in these kinds of situations, we try to do what we can to get along with our neighbors and, you know, try to talk to them. And, you know, oftentimes we've had this with other businesses where parking has been an issue, and we've tried to work with them, and usually with some success. And sometimes you have to go back a couple times to try again. But, you know, I perceive that this may be one that we'll be talking about a few more times with Fenwick. Dan, did you have some?
Dan Waslick, no. I mean, because it doesn't sound like you're addressing anything else tonight, right?
I don't think so, not tonight. I mean, I think if there's something you want to put on the agenda for the next meeting, I think.
No, I was just going to say, if you were addressing the Clinton barriers, that
we're not going to do that tonight.
I'll leave it for later.
Okay. All right. I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. I guess before we do that, I just wanted to reiterate
what others said, that, you know, we thank everybody for coming. And, you know, I think it's one of the good things about living in a small town. People know your business, but, you know, try to get along and work through these things.
Yeah, just a small request. Would it be possible, I understand that the study on this corner has already been done, would it be possible to count the cars on the alley to see what actually the traffic is on that alley? Because it really is terrible.
I assume that if you've answered the survey, that would be one thing for you to put in the survey.
The request
is to count the cars in the alley. You know, we can note that request and deliver that message. I think anecdotally, I don't know that anybody's going to doubt that there's a lot more traffic in the alley as a result of these barriers, because it's just the way it's designed. But yeah, I mean, I guess that would be a request that we can note.
Thank you.
Right. I mean, we understand. And so we do, at these meetings, we come back and we identify maybe certain areas, and, you know, we have limited police presence and limited enforcement ability, but we do try to work with the police to see if they might shift their enforcement energy, you know, in certain areas of the village and try certain things. So, well, yeah. And, you know, and look at, preaching to the choir. I mean, I think we all see that there is just a lack of civility. And, you know, we're probably all guilty of it ourselves sometimes when we're driving. I mean, but, you know, stop signs are, stop signs are more of a suggestion than a command. And, I agree with you that maybe, you know, some enforcement sometimes that's strategic would be helpful. And we try to do that when we can. So I'm just going to thank everybody and then ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Here. All right. Thanks, everybody. Come to a future meeting.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all. Take care, John, and have a good night. And you too, Tim.